KPFT is pleased.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the 27th of August edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
Wow, 27th, you mean August is almost over?
Yeah.
Wow, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, things are going to be flying by.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-executive whatever of this show.
He's the whatever of the show, huh? And according to the Empress, I'm Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh.
On crack.
On crack.
You can turn the world on with a smile.
And she's probably sitting over there smiling, too, isn't she?
She is.
Do you have a French beret you throw up in the air a lot?
Sometimes.
He just throws up a lot. Actually, you don't want to see what he throws up in the air a lot.
Woo!
I've seen it on XTube. It's not pretty.
It doesn't take long to digress.
Judy's here, too.
Oh, by the way, my name is Wes Lover, and I'll be your third co-executive producer for this evening. So
how's everybody's week?
It's been crazy for me getting ready for my move next week. So
busy.
Awesome. Awesome week.
Well, you have to remove all the batteries before you pack up that stuff. Because, you don't want the box to just kind of, shift itself off the back of the truck.
It depends on who your movers are.
Yes, there's an accident on I-45, a crate load of, oh my God. Don't worry, it's moving itself to the shoulder by as we speak.
And you're worried about me.
I've been coughing more now that since I quit smoking than I did before. I don't know what that deal is.
It's all the crap coming out of your lungs.
I guess.
What can I say?
Yeah, the highlight of my week was getting a flat tire.
Ooh. What was the low part?
My tire.
Getting a flat tire.
Well, you said the high part was getting a flat tire. What was the low point?
It was a crazy week at work, and then I came out from work and turned onto the main street, and the car was pulling to the side and got it filled up enough that I went down to a tire place, and they actually patched it for free.
Whoa.
Sometimes it's good.
It's a high-low.
It's dumb ball.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to be in a small town.
No.
But
I think there's an anti-patch law in Houston. I don't know.
Yeah, and well,
they don't do that anymore.
Well, the twisted part I had is, you know, I was just over the ripcord. The big men were in the doghouse. Mm. But before that, I made $40.
La la la.
Doing what?
I don't want to hear this. One.
Oral with a woman for 40 minutes.
Ew. Do what?
It just involved a little bit of oral for about 40 minutes.
You talked with somebody for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And they gave you money?
Yeah. Apparently, at some of the bars, you can't approach them. They have to come to you and pick. They're doing a research survey.
Oh.
On STDs, STIs, and HIV and all the other stuff. And it takes about 40 minutes.
Hmm.
And you answer all these questions. Mm-hmm. And it's all these multiple choice ones you get through. And then you get $20 for that, and then they offer you an HIV test, the oral swab test, and that's another $20.
Wow!
And it's like, wow, sure,
wow,
been there, done that.
Yeah. So you know, it's weird going through all those tests. I think the weirdest part about it is I had to phone a friend on one of the questions that was asked.
What?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Exactly.
Actually, I think it was Who Wants to Be a Queerionaire.
Well, the even more twisted part is I had to call my mother from the back patio of the ripcord
for a sex question.
Well, one of the questions was if you ever had a hepatitis vaccination.
Oh, and you didn't know.
I wasn't sure, so it was like, okay, what time is it? She's still awake. Let me call her. It was almost as twisted as the time I was at the pharmacy, and the doctor had prescribed me a sulfa antibiotic, and I knew I was allergic to it. And the pharmacist asked, "Well, what does it do to you?" I said, "I don't know. I was like 12 or 13 at the time." I said, "Well, let me find out." And I pulled out my phone, and she just looked at me and goes, "You're calling your mother, aren't you?"
"Of course."
And I go, "Yes, I'm calling my mommy." Mommy.
Well, at least you call her.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. So I didn't give her the full specifics there. I just said, okay, it's a phone a friend. I got a question.
Yeah,
and she told me that. I said, I lost $1 million. Because she'd want a cut of the 40 if I told her I was what it was for.
Yeah, she would too.
So, yeah, keep an eye out for them out there. I was gonna promote when they were going to be out there at the different bars. And I said, no, it's kind of low key.
Yeah.
But like I said, but anyway, they hit a couple other people there at the bar. And
like you said, they pick you.
Well, I think it was because I was the sad, lonely-looking person there on the side of the bar.
Oh, please.
I think it was the ripcord, so there was a lot of sad, lonely, single people in there.
Oh,
ouch. Oh,
my. It was 8:30. I was there early.
8:30? What the hell were you doing there at 8:30?
The same thing we were doing at Tony's at 8:30. Absolutely
so they
nothing.
Had a show?
Really? Oh.
I was just getting ready for, like I said, for doing the bartending. I hadn't been, haven't done the bartending out there. You know, I spent that money to get my TABC certification, and damn it, I was going to use it.
Okay.
That reminds me, I need to do mine.
You'll want those 2.5 hours back of your life.
No.
Amen.
Yeah, trust me. That, that test is... Oh. So.
I took it online.
I took it online,
I took
too.
I took it online, and it actually... It kept crashing my computer. It was like
no.
It was more like almost 6 hours by the time I got through with it.
Oh God!
Oh wow!
And, Renee with the Misfits was taking it at the same time. We were calling each other up as we would figure out the puzzle that was their website.
Oh no!
Yeah, I took that.
And every time it would like stop working, you'd have to go back and go through the section you were in.
Oh dear.
From the beginning.
God. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Yeah. If the computer stops. Yeah.
After a while you just learn just to flip.
I couldn't find the fast forward stuff. I ended up sitting there folding clothing,
really?
Going.
There's a way to fast forward to the online?
Just go through the pages.
Because Lord knows I sat through the 4 hours online. I'm like, really? Is this thing ever going
to
end?
It's closer to six.
I'm glad Susie's having a good time at her local club, but I really don't care. She's drunk.
It's like, where's the option E on that thing? Okay, we take the drunk guy into the back, and we do something to him to sober him up, and then we'll give him a drink.
So, well, since we have a Reese's here.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that what they're called?
And did you notice the mouthy?
Yes, Mary Tyler Moore.
Next to you? You can turn the world on with your smile.
Look here, Bionic B.
It's your new theme song. Get used to it.
But actually, Joan Jett did a really fabulous version of it. Look at that.
No.
Yeah, Joan Jett did that. You know that? She did a remake. Yes, it's fabulous.
It must be.
It is.
It's actually, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's very hot, very rock and roll edge. Yeah, it's really cool.
I think this will guarantee Wes will never come to a court show again because he knows I'm going to have that song ready for him.
Well, you know, I wasn't...
And if Scott doesn't, I may.
I wasn't expecting Lillian to sit there and... announce everybody that was not a part of the court that was at the bar
actually Wes and Jimmy were at our show tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, they
and
were.
We had
and Judy.
Show tonight.
And Judy, don't forget Judy.
Yeah, Judy, well, she was here. But anyway.
But, you mean Jimmy Schofer was there?
Judy was there
pretty
as
much,
well.
Pretty much.
We had a fabulous show. Mm-hmm. We were celebrating a big occasion.
Huge occasion.
It was
it wasn't that big.
Our Emperor 24, Bob Skinner's birthday. Mm-hmm. And my Empress and his 10th anniversary together.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Which is,
go figure.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing milestone.
So according to Bob, they got together when he was 7.
Yeah, Bob can still work with that plan.
And you will note that Lillian actually was a birthday gift of sorts.
I beg your pardon.
They actually met on his birthday.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool. So.
And he lost the gift receipt.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, Daryl and Safonda were the ones who introduced us, and they said they lost that receipt.
Really?
But as I always tell him, I was the birthday present never asked to leave, so apparently I did something right, at least in the first 24 hours.
After that, it was too late.
The claws were in.
In all seriousness, I think when, you know, living in a state where our governor signs a pledge against gay marriage, mm-hmm. I think 10 years together is a great milestone, and I'm very impressed and very proud of them.
Yay.
And congratulate them on that.
Thank you, honey. I love him. I abuse him, but I love him.
Yeah, I'll bet you abuse him.
Yeah, we've seen it. We're trapped.
I don't
he
hear him out.
Likes that a little bit.
I was going to say I don't hear him out in the out in the lobby.
He's here.
Denying it.
He's asleep.
Yeah, he's asleep, in the lobby.
In the lobby.
He always does that. He'll never come in.
The last thing he said to Scott when he saw Scott before we walked in, he goes, "I'll be in the lobby. Just wake me up when you're hard done."
Yeah.
It's not the first time he said that to you, huh?
Oh. No.
Oh, Jimmy's real quick tonight, but he gets it.
I've never seen her speak before.
I was parched.
Yeah, right.
Is that what they call it?
Yes, Mary Tyler Moore. Yeah.
But we're delighted to be here. We haven't been here for a couple months.
I know.
We sent our emissaries, as it were, the last couple months.
And that's worked well.
We've been traveling.
We've had to be out of town a couple of times. All of the courts have their coronation events, and we try to go to as many as we can.
Especially Texas courts.
And we definitely try to go to see our friends in Texas. Mm-hmm. And we've been visiting a few of them, and it just happened to fall on our weekend. But
does Texas have more courts than anybody else?
Oh, no. You should see California.
Oh,
there's
really?
Like one on every corner there.
They're like Walgreens.
Welcome to the court of Starbucks. I am Aaron Barista.
It is. It's like the court of Third and Main. Oh. But no, actually, I think California probably does have the biggest. You know, there are 70 chapters between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually just hit 70 because they just added a new court. Actually, it may be more than that because we've actually officially added 3 courts this year.
Oh.
St.
Louis.
Tulsa moved from a barony to a full court.
Oh, good.
St. Louis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something really interesting about St. Louis is they're in their fifth year. And two of their empresses are very good friends of ours, and you actually probably know them. One being Melinda Martin,
mm-hmm.
who used to be with the court here as Jay Pekovich. changed over to the Lions.
Yes. Yeah.
He has actually served as their monarch twice, and their newest elected monarch as of last spring is Eden Sterling.
No, really?
Absolutely.
who's damn.
A fabulous entertainer and wonderful person who we all knew.
Yes.
When she lived here in Houston and was active in the community here and with the court. So we're so proud. Actually, Lillian was able to go to St. Louis for Eden's step up.
Oh, it was a blast.
I'll bet it was.
I think we're both planning on going for a step down because Eden's a
Jay
very good friend.
Jay is just not right in the head.
Not right in the head. And get her dressed up as Melinda and she's even worse. But
exactly.
Was in town 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed him.
Came in to visit us. So great, great to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Some old friends are involved in the court in St. Louis. Anyway, the third new court that just added was the court in Washington, D.C.
And they're actually
doing their first state event coming up in September 17th. Mm-hmm. They're doing a formal event there, and it's not their first ball, but it's their first big state event. So it's a really big deal and pretty exciting. They seem very well organized and really ready to raise some money in that community. So we're as the courts overall between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, very well organized and raising a heck of a lot of money.
Oh yeah!
Throughout all the realms,
just amazing.
You know, we're very proud of what we do here in Houston. We're a big piece of it. I don't know exactly where we fit in. You know, you kind of compare numbers a little bit. There are some that are just ginormous in the amount they raise, but we're actually pretty close to the top of that list. Uh-oh. So. Houston is very well thought of in the international court system.
Good.
And we try to uphold all that is important in the court. So
what is the court doing these days? I know you've got something going on later tonight.
Well, I'm going home to bed, but I don't know what you had in mind there, Jimmy.
Well, I've got something written down there.
I think he meant Sunday night.
We actually have a fun show tomorrow night. We're going to be over at the BRB, Brazos River Bottom, 2400 Brazos Street, doing a little show. We call it the...
Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
And this year it's spelled with a Y.
Yes.
Instead of two E's.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you for that.
What
not that I
say?
Don't appreciate the gayest show on television,
but yeah.
Yeah. No, this is our Grand Duke Christopher Barr is doing a show over there tomorrow night. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
He sure is active.
I prefer to think of myself as the good.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go any further than that.
I'll cover the other two. Don't worry about it.
She'll double down for you.
Anyway, so it's a little bit of a kind of a theme show. I know he's got some surprises over there tomorrow night.
I hear there's productions and everything.
I hear productions. Really? He's got a bunch of stuff going on. And, you know, he hasn't really shared all the details with me. I think he's wanting to surprise us. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be over at the BRB. I think he's starting at 7 tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in my pack.
We're going to be...
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it is.
We've got a lot of stuff going on tomorrow. I know that there's an earlier show over there for the Pet Patrol, Pennies for Pets,
that's 2 to 5.
2 to 5, and so we'll be coming in after that. So between that and
there's just a hell of a lot.
There's a lot going on. Falcon's got his phone party going on tomorrow.
1 to 4.
Eagle 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there.
And I think we're
me too.
We're planning to help him out, and Mr. Bubble there will be here.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh yeah.
Mr. Bubble.
Jimmy will be playing Don Ho. He'll be in the middle of it. They're stroking something like a ukulele, going tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles.
Okay.
And Wes will be there going, who can turn the world on with a smile?
Jimmy can.
Yeah, so tomorrow's going to be a busy day. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Actually, Wes is
going
to try to figure out how to turn bubbles out of Bray. That's what he's going to do.
A Bray bubble maker.
Yeah, the Pennies for Pretz is going on tomorrow, too.
Yeah. So,
but we have some great stuff coming up. Then the next weekend, on Saturday the 3rd, is our annual Coushatta bus trip.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. That is a lot of fun. And
oh, God.
What?
Right.
Caught the pun.
I did, too, but I decided to ignore it.
God, I wish I hit the button.
You're just mad because you didn't do it first.
Anyway, no, we actually head over to Coushatta on a lovely chartered bus. We'll leave here about 10 o'clock, get over to Coushatta about 1 o'clock. We do stay there till about 5 and head back to Houston. However, sometimes the journey is as much fun as the actual event.
I hear that.
We actually have a lot of fun on this bus trip.
Just don't fall asleep. You end up on Facebook.
We will.
If Prada is there, he's going to take enough pictures. You're wrong, and end up on Facebook anyway.
Pictures are not cute.
We're going to have entertainment. Oh. We're going to feed our guests. We're going to give them lunch on the way over, some snacks. And
yes, they will feed you.
Yeah, we'll feed you, so we'll make sure you're well
taken. I went once, and I had to say no, thank you.
They kept bringing snacks.
My.
But anyway, so we feed you, we take care of you on the way over, we'll have some entertainment, we do a few, maybe like a little movie or... Oh, who knows what? Mm-hmm. We always have a little surprise. Mm-hmm. And then on the way home, it actually gets even a little messier. We actually have been known to actually do a show on the bus.
I can't even imagine that.
Well, you know, we got a CD player and we got an aisle. We know what to do with it.
And we have a bus driver who loves it.
We have this wonderful bus driver. Her name is Gloria. And she was, the first year we did this, will be our third year, she accidentally just got our little job. And she is just a riot. She absolutely, by the time we got back, after all the craziness on the bus, she was like, if you do this again next year, call me.
Yeah,
I
think we have Gloria's cell phone number.
We do. And we actually,
just to tell her, okay, this is when it's booked, baby.
This is what we're doing.
And we actually call and request her, and she also drives one of our buses when we do our coronation weekend. Because she's awesome, and she loves us, and she takes care of us. Last year, we actually squeezed an extra hour at the casino out of her, which lost me about $1,000, but I won't talk about that. Just left it for 5 o'clock, we would have been fine. Anyway, the casino trip is a lot of fun. If you're interested in going, go to our website, which is www.erisus.org.
How do you spell that?
I will spell that.
ERISISS.
.org. Mm-hmm. And there's more information there and a link.
$30.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Advanced purchase $30. We're going to meet over at the Montrose Counseling Center in the morning and take off from there. Safe, secure parking there.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get home about 8 o'clock, so you still have plenty of your evening left.
Wow.
On Saturday, and it's just it's a fun thing to do on a holiday weekend. So
but you'll need to call a cab when you get off the bus.
Well, actually, you've had a few hours to sober up on the way home. So
we don't do liquor on the bus.
That's the bus company doesn't let us serve liquor. So.
What? What's wrong with them?
Yeah, got 4 hours in the casino.
Hello, and it's free. Yeah. Get over it, Mary.
Okay.
You're such a heavy drinker anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, party boy here.
Yeah, yeah. I kept hitting the slushy machine.
Slushy machine?
Is that what you're calling it?
Okay.
Hey, I was playing the penny slots. They don't come over with drinks that often there.
I bet not.
I wasn't sat up at the bar like some people were playing that slot.
Ooh.
And then when we get back on Sunday night, on Sunday, September 4th, we got a really awesome show coming up. This is something they came up with last year that really, I will have to tell you, I wasn't so sure about when I heard about it. The court is known for what we call a regalia.
Mm, oh, yes.
You know, we have crowns, we have pins, we have...
You got big jewelry.
We got some big jewelry. We wear it when we go to coronations, mm-hmm. when we go to state functions and here and in other cities. But somebody said last year, why doesn't anybody in town ever get to see your jewelry? And they came up with a little show kind of built around the thought that everybody shows up with the crowns, the jewelry, and all the regalia we wear.
So people get to see it.
So people get to see it that might not come to a coronation. Mm-hmm. And it actually turned out to be a lot of fun, just seeing everybody get dressed up for a show. Anyway, this will be our second year to do it. Mm-hmm. It's called The Power in Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's hosted by our Grand Duke Jody Travis and Duke Jack Naderhoff. And they've brought in a couple of other people. I'm sorry, I'm not looking. I know Felicia is helping
Felicia
with it.
And I think Craig.
And I think Craig. Yes, it is Craig.
Mm.
The reason that it's called The Power of Numbers is they actually... very smartly figured out among this group, you know, Jack and Jody and all of them have been worked very hard in the community, and they really realize that when you work together and pool your resources, that you actually pull off something pretty big and something pretty amazing. And so last year it was three hosts. This year they've actually gone to four hosts, mm-hmm. and they are. Working very hard on a lot of pieces to this. I think they're going to be having an auction there.
Oh,
a photographer.
There will be a photo booth there because everybody will look fabulous. And yes, I know you do. But anyway, it's a chance to see all of our court members.
Hey, Jimmy, there's an auction out in the lobby right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah, you could buy a sleeping emperor out there.
Yeah.
But
50 cents, you can have it.
Power Numbers is going to be a fun show and it's going to be kind of a little visual feast
mm-hmm.
for you because, you know, you get to see all the big jewelry.
Yeah, and so, I don't have to get dressed up to see it.
And absolutely.
I love that part.
We're getting dressed up. We'll be party for you.
That's the whole idea behind the show.
But anyway, it's a lot of fun.
Where is it going to be?
It's on Sunday night over at the BRB
okay.
again, 2400 Brasses. I believe we're going to start that one at 8.
Mm-hmm. 8-ish. Whatever.
Actually, I think there's a social that kind of starts
earlier. Oh, you're right. There's actually going to be a social.
With like little snacks. And that way you can get your picture taken beforehand, before you have to go and mm-hmm. do the whole performing thing. So.
Oh.
So it's also a chance for our members to get their... coronation program ads.
Yes.
And photos taken.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yes. And our college.
Yeah.
If our college decides they want to update their pictures.
Yeah. And, you know, Lillian and I have been
trying since
January to get a picture we like of the both of us. We're very close to it now. We actually got one back that we took a couple months ago that we both kind of like, but they sort of cut my crown off on the top.
But we weren't so big on the anime picture.
Yeah.
That's what we call the original picture made.
The first picture they took of us. Okay, it's our fault. They asked us after we took the picture, and it was after we were crowned. It was very late at night, and we were like, okay, you know, stand there, take a picture. And just as we were walking off, there was a... Lillian has a little tattoo that was visible with her gown, and the photographer says, oh, would you like us to take that off? And she says, oh, yeah, can you like, retouch that? And I said, yeah, and can you make me look 35?
and then she made the mistake of, can you make me look 25? Well,
they went for it.
I've got that picture.
I don't know if it was successful, but we really, It is so retouched that we actually think it looks like anime. We look like bad cartoon characters.
I'll put you this way. We actually went to Coronation this year. I don't think you were around. We were in hospitality, and someone looked at me and goes, who are they? Yeah. I want to show up at their coronation. Really?
Yeah, it's going to be a puppet show. But so anyway, we've been on a quest to get a good picture of the two of us. Yeah. You know, both of us with our eyes open, not drooling, you know.
Those are the best pictures.
You know, everybody having good hair night all at once.
Yeah.
You know, it will happen. It may be like the day before coronation, but we will have a fabulous picture before we're done.
What is like glue stick it into the program?
There you
My
go.
Fear is that original picture that we both really dislike is going to end up being forever in every coronation program to the end of time.
No. I will hurt some people.
So anyway, but those are a couple of shows that are coming up. We've got some other things coming up. Mm-hmm. Friday the 9th will be over at the BRB with the Wonder Twin show.
Wonder Twin?
This is actually going to be the first show for two of our members, Felicia and Trish. Both real women.
Mm-hmm.
Both are fabulous singers.
Oh.
And both
they look
are
similar.
And they kind of look alike.
Oh.
And one night we were sitting somewhere, and they happened to both be standing there, and somebody goes, you two look like twins. You need to do a show. And it just like grew from there.
I'll bet.
So that's going to be on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday the 10th, we're actually heading up to Waco for their coronation.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Waco is...
went to Waco.
Waco actually is a wonderful, wonderful little court.
They have a great court,
you know.
There.
They do good work in that community, mm-hmm. And actually, we are the mother court to Waco. When each court is formed, they have a court that is assigned to help and advise them
getting
started. And Houston is the mother court to Waco.
I tease about the fact because Waco court was actually the first court I was ever introduced to.
Oh.
I went back to Waco to do some testing at my school, went to the gay bar one night, and it was a normal, usual bar. I went in the second night, and the bartenders were all wearing blue jeans with tuxedo jackets, and there was something weird going on in the dance floor area. It's like, and I'm just sitting there drinking my beer, and some guy comes up to me and goes, you look confused. I go, yeah, it wasn't like this yesterday. And he sat there and explained the court system to me.
So that was how you met those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird enough trying to find that bar in Waco with no signs out front.
Yeah.
It's like you roll down your window and listen for the disco, for the dance music.
But, you know, Waco has a nice little court there. They've been, how many years have they been around? I want to say 17.
17, yeah.
17 years.
This is Coronation 18, yeah.
Wow.
Because that's their reignings are 17. And, you know, they are, they work hard for their community. And it's tough in a smaller town like that where you only have one club to work with.
Yeah.
They form partnerships with other organizations. I know they work with their local MCC church there. Mm-hmm. They work very hard at what they do and do a great job for their community. I mean,
and considering how conservative that town is, I mean, it's predominantly Baylor. And you know, when I went there, there was one club that dared to have topless dancers.
Mm.
There's one store that dared to rent dirty movies.
Mm.
And you know, that was kind of an introduction to how really pissant of a town you can get.
Well, you know, the sleeping emperor is from Waco.
Yeah,
that explains a lot.
It's funny you should say that about Waco. I mean, that was the first court system, mm-hmm. because mine was Denver. I was visiting a friend in Denver. We went out to a bar, and the court was having something going on, but, I mean, it was formal.
Yeah. Actually, I was up in Denver a few years ago, and before I joined the court, and just happened to go out to a bar on a Sunday night, and I ran smack dab into a cold snow.
Yeah,
had a great time.
Yeah,
actually, Denver's a fun course.
And then I came back to Houston and see if we had a court.
Yeah. So we're all over the place. You run into
yes,
them.
Yes, we are.
And they're all and each court works for their community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we raise money for local organizations, local HIV AIDS and women's charities,
mm-hmm.
they all do the same thing based on we're all independent, sovereign organizations. Mm-hmm. We take the word sovereign in our name very seriously. We are a 501c3. The money that we raise here stays in Houston and goes to local organizations. The same is true wherever you go.
And
we talk about the international court system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a network that we communicate with each other, we visit each other, and we support each other. But each court is doing it for their community.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an important thing to remember, that when you donate to this organization, every dollar you donate stays right here in Houston.
Right, right. That is important. And the other thing is that you have... two organizations that you raise money for predominantly during the year.
We also do some direct benefits
yes.
throughout the year,
so that nobody else is left out.
Right. Like for instance, we just earlier this month we did our Fire and Ice Ball, mm-hmm. which was a benefit for Legacy, a wonderful organization that we've worked with over the years. We've got. I believe this month on the 23rd, we're doing a show for Grace Place, which is a new organization we haven't worked with before. But
that's,
wonderful organization.
That's one for teens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. That was the show that Carrie Christopher did.
Yes.
Yeah, the Boys versus Girls show.
That's one
show.
Of the things that we do get from our international court system and from our Queen Mother of the Americas, who. She does challenges on certain things, and every year she'll come to all the courts and say, you know, this is something that is important, and are you paying attention to it? And this year, what she really wanted us to focus on was youth,
mm-hmm.
and gay and lesbian youth,
mm-hmm.
and we totally agree with what with that. And one of the things that we have done over the last couple of years is, of course, our scholarship program,
mm-hmm.
Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund. That program has 10% of our of almost every show that we do goes into a fund that supports scholarships.
Every regular show.
Yeah, except for special proclamation shows and things like that.
Yeah.
So the majority of our shows, we take 10%, set it aside for the scholarship
mm-hmm.
fund. And we actually administrate that scholarship. We collect the applications. The information is available on our website.
Wow.
www.eresus.org.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go there. There's a link to the scholarship site. It's available to any gay and lesbian student.
How about bisexual and transgender?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
The whole alphabet.
Seeking higher education. Not necessarily college. It could be, it's whatever. It's just post-secondary education.
Yeah, sure.
And at this point in time, we are supporting 3 college students.
Oh, good.
With tuition and books.
Good, helping them
achieve their goals. So I'm really excited about the scholarship. It's really taken off. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Tonight at the show over at Tony's, our newest scholarship recipient's parents, he's not old enough to come to the shows because he's not 21 yet.
Yeah.
But his parents have now stopped in at 2 shows.
No kidding.
It just, you know, and we've
that
actually gotten
really
to
nice.
Know them a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're terrific people, and they're so excited that there's not a lot of programs out there. There's as far as I know, I only know of 2 scholarship programs that are in Houston that are specifically gay and lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very proud of the fact that we're able to help some of the, and I don't want to say that's necessarily a youth program. I mean, the majority of college students are younger, but I think we have one who is actually, I think, in his 30s or 40s.
Really?
He's 40 right now. He's a returning student, a veteran who is returned to get his college degree.
Okay.
So, you know,
it's good to know that there's leeway there. Yeah.
So we aren't real specific about that. We don't calendar it with the college calendars, mm-hmm. and we are not specifically college. You know, it could be a different type of post-secondary education, a trade school or something. It's just important mm-hmm. to us to see that that the people who are seeking to achieve something in
that's right, because college is not for everyone.
Absolutely.
I'm flabbergasted. Well, you know, I've never sat down with anybody and talked about the scholarship thing.
Well, don't get me started.
Yeah, we usually just, you know, at the end of we go through the whole spiel of what the charities are. We always add, you know, the 10% going to chaos.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. And chaos, it becomes a little bit of an anagram, but it is a really important program.
And it's an amazing program.
It's a nice fit with, you know, with our youth focus. Now, we just did a special fundraiser for the Trevor Project mm-hmm. here, just, what, about a month ago.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And it was a terrific show. We did raise some pretty decent money for them. But, you know, so we actually sometimes will kind of step outside our box a little bit and look at a national organization that fits with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we really feel like we do try to help our gay and lesbian youth.
Well, this is a national organization that people in Houston can use.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And that's a really just incredible program. Mm-hmm. The more I've learned about it, just giving gay and lesbian youth an ear to listen to sometimes is just so important.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar with the Trevor Project, it is a national GLBT Q helpline
mm-hmm.
for that for youth who are questioning, you know, need help figuring it out, who are, you know, need help if they're contemplating suicide because of the issues they're going through. It's a 24/7 support that you can get a hold of. There's an 800 number. You can also find them on the web. I think it's trevorproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would really encourage you to spend a little time and go look at their website and see what they're doing. It's an amazing organization.
Mm.
And while you're on the internet, be sure and check out eresis.org.
E-R-S-I-C-S-S.
And I had to type eresis earlier today, and I was sitting there, you know, one letter at a time.
And here's the bonus. If you actually go to the website, you get to see the anime picture.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
Oh.
You go, Mary Tyler Moore.
Scary, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. There it is. Isn't that pretty?
I can't really see it well from this angle. That's probably a good thing. I'll see it later.
There's really no good viewing angle.
No.
No.
I'll see it later because I got to sign up over there. I'm thinking about going on a casino trip.
Oh, cool.
You need to come.
You need to come.
I bet it will be.
It's a blast.
Jimmy will sleep through it.
Jimmy will sleep through the morning, but we'll get him awake by noon. Have fun. Judy and I will have fun.
Jimmy, here's the benefit you can have with going there. When you go to a casino,
mm-hmm.
you can smoke indoors.
I don't smoke.
That's right. I forgot. You can just quit.
All you have to do is just sit next to
me. Join me. We'll go into the non-smoking area.
I don't even know how those machines work.
This way, Jimmy. I sat next to somebody last year who did not know how to play video poker.
Yeah.
The only mistake they made was they were betting too low. They hit a royal flush on video poker.
Oh.
Which means you could walk away with thousands of dollars. So sit next to Mama. But I will be smoking. Sorry.
That's okay.
You don't know, Jimmy. He will not walk away with thousands.
Well, he'll order and he'll just give you his drink.
Exactly. Order double for me. That'll work.
And really, if you don't want to gamble, they have like
a
fabulous buffet there. So.
Mm. Yeah. Now you've got his attention.
That's where my husband usually is. Yeah. He runs through his money quickly and then goes to the buffet.
Yeah. That would be me.
It really is a great trip. It's just a lot of fun, and there's... You don't have to deal with a lot of stuff. Just show up, have a good time, and come home.
Yeah, it was a very peaceful, fun little trip over there, and then gather all together.
And Laura is a hoot. You never know what she's going to say on the mic.
If you ever want to watch what it looks like if a bunch of looters hit a cigarette shop, that's the bus ride home. Because everybody's buying cartons of cigarettes to bring back and 14-inch cigars.
Really?
Were we on the same bus trip?
Yeah.
Okay, there was I must have missed that one.
People had a lot of big cigars.
The bus trip is a lot of fun. Like I said, it's if you're interested in it, please go to our website.
Yes.
And check that out, eresus.org.
$30.
Not a bad thing.
It's a great time.
Okay.
Well, we have to fill up for a couple minutes. We get to the top of the hour.
Oh, I see.
Do we have two? Are there two groups? Are there two quickies here?
I saw Misfits walk in. Let me go check and see if the other ones here.
At least one's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you going to figuratively put on your other hat?
Oh, he's not going to wear that hat. It's too damn hot. That plastic hat.
I didn't get one of the plastic. Oh, the Misfits have been out. doing a little
patrolling,
a little
crawling,
promoting,
mm-hmm.
And they chose to wear plastic top hats. It's a very cute look, but what a miserable thing to put a plastic hat on your head in this 107 degree weather.
Yes, what were they thinking?
I think that's what puts the sod in. The sod and Cirque du
Soleil. Oh, Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Somebody has the card.
But the Misfits.
I'm reading his shirt from here.
Oh.
There you go.
Just look over his nipple.
Oh. Well, this is Mr. Chest. Mr. January Chest.
Oh, Lord. You have no idea how long ago that was.
I have the calendar.
I do too.
Oh, Jimmy, yeah, we have to talk.
The 2002 calendar.
Scott, but unlike yours, his is laminated for protection.
Go!
Okay, we've got Stage Door Inc. out in the wings. We've got the Misfits out in the wings. And we also have another one that I don't think we were expecting, talking about another trip. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, we knew about them. Jimmy invited them.
Oh, okay. We knew about them?
Positive Posse?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's... We were going to have them last week.
Yeah, Positive Posse.
They couldn't come last week.
Yeah, they're out there waiting also.
Oh,
so
boy.
We've got a full house, and so we need to get moving on here.
Okay.
So we'll have the... Thank you all. Once again,
it's Eresus.
Well, thank you for having
us. And I really enjoyed the in-depth conversation about Eresus tonight.
Well, we try to educate
us. Yeah. Thank you.
As much as we can.
And hang around.
Okay.
We may need you for the Misfits.
Just be a misfit.
Except for the plastic hat.
We could fix that.
No.
I bet they have an extra one out there for you.
All right, why don't we hit the PSA a minute early and get started on this? We'll figure out who comes in next.
Okay. Yep.
The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. is a nonprofit corporation who provides literature to local high schools about the realities of military recruiting, military jobs, and alternatives to military jobs. The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. invites you to their annual fundraising jazz concert on Sunday, September 4th, Labor Day weekend, featuring local renowned jazz pianist Bob Henshin and others. This jazz concert will be held at the Houston Mennonite Church, 1231 Wirt Road. The concert is at 7 p.m. September 4th. All donations are accepted and all are welcome. For more information, call 832-466-1342. This is KPFT Houston.
Are you seeking more understanding of what it means to be peaceful and still make much-needed changes in our political system? If so, consider attending a workshop on nonviolence sponsored by the Houston Peace and Justice Center. This workshop will take place on Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bering United Methodist Church in Houston. Titled Journey to Nonviolence, Inspiration for a Just and Peaceful World, you will be part of an experiential workshop to focus on what nonviolence means to us and our global family. Drawing on traditions and inspiration from many cultures, this gathering will support you in finding sustenance for your work in the world. To register or to find out more details, go to www.hpjc.org. Hope to see you there.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Gallows, and 89.7 Huntsville, 90.3 soon to be in Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
A little bit faster, Chris, next time.
Hey, I tried. I wasn't prepped. I did. Yeah, I waited for you to point your finger at me. It's like, okay. Point your finger. Oh. Ew. Right, we have with us here the Misfits.
Hello.
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 They can't see that. Wave.
Yeah, I have to hold my mic down because keeps hitting me in the chin.
I hate when that happens.
Best offer I've had. So the Misfits ball is up and coming.
Yes, my God, there's a bunch of really good-looking hairy men in there.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Jimmy.
The Houston Area Bears aren't here tonight.
No, I mean facial hair.
Oh, okay.
Is that a de rigueur this week for the Misfits? Not for us. Oh, couldn't
What's
be.
The question?
What?
Is his mic on? Cause
yeah, it's on.
Oh. They can't hear the question. No, I at least have to
We just can't understand it.
Oh, welcome to my...
Well, yeah.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah,
here we are. Welcome.
Hello.
What's the question now?
Move on.
All this facial hair. I mean, it's hot, but is it?
Well, there's one smooth face in there.
I know.
Yes, there is.
Baby bear.
Is it you're growing hair for the ball or what?
No, that's just what we do.
Oh,
that's how we roll, Jimmy.
I got it. Are we going to have introductions here?
Misfits ball is lack of shaving.
Yeah, we can go around the room.
Okay.
My name's Renee. I am the president of the Misfits.
I'm Widget. I'm vice president and treasurer of the Misfits.
My name's Scott. I'm just like the oldest living Misfit.
Are you one of the original founders?
Actually, no. I actually joined in year six.
Oh.
I joined right after the fifth anniversary.
Wow.
So I've been in the club for 13 years.
Wow. Okay.
And I actually joined the first planning meeting for Misfits Ball 1.
Oh.
It was my first Misfits meeting.
And sitting next to you is?
I'm Jake. I joined this organization in January. This will be my first ball this year.
And I'm Hector. I'm a historian, and I have no facial hair, hence I'm Baby Bear.
Baby Bear. Aww. And my name is Tony. I am the newest Misfit.
The baby.
Yay.
Yay.
But he's not Baby Bear.
No. No, he's actually a Twinkle Bear.
Ooh. Wow, really?
Yes. Yeah, we went there.
We totally
you
went
just
there.
Really outed me as Twinkle Bear.
Totally. We haven't said your last name yet, Tony, so they don't know who you are. You just Tony.
Don't worry, it'll come.
Right, all in good time.
Come to the ball, you'll see the patent Twinkle Bear move.
Twice.
Yes.
Outed twice, huh?
That's right.
They didn't know what type of organization you were getting into?
No, I did not, but I love them all.
We like to out you for anything that you have.
You can out me whenever you want.
We just think you should be famous.
Thank you.
Which is strange, usually it's infamous around here.
Oh, the rest of us have that covered.
Come in time also.
Yeah.
We got that covered. We'll go with that.
I say.
Once you get through the first Misfits ball, then it becomes infamous.
Yeah.
Love it.
So we are here to promote the ball.
Oh, yes. Please do.
It is coming up on Sunday, September 11th. That's two Sundays from now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at Numbers, and we're going to have the usual fun stuff that typically happens at the Misfits ball.
Of course, I'm referring to our silent auction
mm-hmm.
and our 50-50 raffle.
Dancing.
There's dancing. We'll have some trash disco that our audience, our group loves to dance to.
Oh, yeah.
And a fabulous DJ.
A fabulous DJ, that Mark D.
Yeah, he is so good.
Just a couple of other activities that are going to be...
Yeah, the sound level.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
And what's the theme?
The theme this year is Cirque du Sade.
Oh.
So we have a kind of an underground dark circus thing going on.
Hmm.
It's hot.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We've been working on all the decorations this weekend, and we're planning on some really fun, twisted decorations for numbers.
Hmm. I can't wait to see it.
Our beneficiaries this year are Spry, Seniors Preparing for Rainbow Years,
mm-hmm.
and the Houston Buyers Club.
Great. Two great groups.
And one good thing is with for everyone, when you know you go to these charitable events and you're never sure you know exactly how much to raise and all that, at the end of the night they hand out the checks to these groups.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's the incredible part.
Right. 100% of what we raise actually does go to the beneficiaries. We cover the cost of the ball completely ourselves.
That's amazing.
There's no money taken out. All of it goes directly to the beneficiaries. We should talk about
wow.
the beneficiaries.
Wow.
I can't say their names of what they do. Okay, so...
you offered, you're going to be here.
Apparently, I will tell you about what the beneficiaries do. So Houston Buyers Club, which is also now going by the name Expert Fitness, they have a storefront where they sell nutritional supplements and at a discount. And what they really do, though, and a lot of people don't know this, is that they support people with HIV and other illnesses, and diseases that are metabolic and metabolically related, like diabetes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they do nutrition counseling, and they help people learn how to shop for themselves, as well as inform them about what specific supplements might be useful. If someone has HIV, they will help them find supplements that will make their medicine more tolerable to minimize side effects. So a lot of people think that they're just a storefront, but they actually do a lot more than that.
They do.
And Seniors Preparing for Rainbow Years is a program co-operated by Legacy and Montrose Counseling Center. And they basically provide services for GLBT retirees.
It's actually services and social. It's kind of a cool program. It's something that they, a few years ago, some people that were working in both organizations came together and... because they really felt this was an underserved population out there. You know, if we go back a few years, I don't think too many of us were really expecting to ever be senior citizens.
And that's right.
All of a sudden,
right. Surprise!
We have a lot of...
yeah, I'm there.
A lot of... yeah, Jimmy, I wasn't going to name names, but, you know...
Why not? We always do it.
But it's a really underserved population.
Yes.
And there's a lot of... isolation factors involved and a lot of the issues that are not readily apparent that Legacy and the Montrose Counseling Center have kind of put together these programs. So it's actually there to serve basic needs and social needs. So it's a terrific program, and we're really proud of both of these organizations and being able to support them this year.
Good. Good.
And if you're really looking for something with the silent auction that you use for the raising, it's a wide variety of things. I got
Jesus.
My mother a Christmas present at the Misfits Ball a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. And did she like the harness?
You know, it came down to me deciding the bath spa package or the specialty gift package from Hollywood video. And my mom would have accepted either one of them, but I figured it was easier for her to unwrap the bath and spa package in front of her grandchildren.
Well, actually, my Empress wears a very nice leather skirt that she bought at the Misfits Ball auction.
So
what? Can you tease us with what you've got this year for the auction?
Baby Bear is our silent auction chair this year, so he can tell you a little bit about what we have.
Yes, we have gotten a lot of support from local businesses. We have some stuff from Specs, El Tiempo. We have some local businesses in the Heights area. Great for Christmas presents. We have Delta Downs, the racetrack and hotel. Those are some of the stuff that we have. It's a lot of surprises. It's going to be a good auction, so looking forward to it.
Me too. Yeah, what's great is that we're the community really kind of steps up and really supports the efforts of the silent auction, and I mean we put these packages together that are really, really valuable.
Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty wide-ranging thing. It's generally we have things that are entertainment-driven. We have different products. We have health and fitness stuff there. So it's a lot of great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually worth spending some time perusing because there's a very wide variety of items there.
Plus, you get to walk on around on the stage.
I hate walking on stage.
We'll really? You also, yeah, hate to have a mic in your hand.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a big highlight of the ball. Are you wanting me to sing to you again, Wes?
Boy, if I haven't heard somebody more full of dog crap.
So, is it? So that's a donation. How do you sign up? How do you get all that?
It's a $15 ticket at the door. And you can see any misfit to buy your ticket in advance, or you can buy a ticket at the door.
It's a $15 minimum donation. So
if you'd like to make a larger donation, you're perfectly
absolutely
welcome to.
Absolutely.
Can I just add something? If you want to look us up on Facebook, Misfits Houston, you can look up the actual ball also, and look us up, like us, and then you can find information on there as well.
Or you can always visit the Misfits website, which is www.misfitshouston.org.
And for the silent auction, we also take Visa and MasterCard for that. So,
oh, yeah.
You don't have to bring your cash. You can, you know, just bring your credit card and leave it with us. We'll take care of everything.
Yeah, Jimmy, just go ahead and drop yours at the door.
Okay.
We'll take care of you.
Yeah, okay. Along with my clothes, because you
track him down to find and say, "Hey, Jimmy, you want some stuff? You need to come down here."
I can drop my clothes off too. You have a clothes check, don't you?
Oh,
yeah.
And Chris, where was Jimmy when you had to go find him?
Upstairs,
making the world smile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just call me the welcome wagon.
Yeah, he can turn the world on with a smile too, but not like US.
Oh my, that's going to go on for a long time.
I know it. I have a reputation to uphold.
That's not what I was talking about. We already know about your reputation.
Mm.
So once again, we've got Misfits Ball.
It's going to be September 11th. From 5 to 9 p.m.
That's a whole weekend of leather stuff, isn't it?
And we'll be at Numbers.
Do what?
Yeah, Jimmy, we got to talk about that off air. We'll be at Numbers.
We'll be at Numbers. And we hope to see everybody out there. I'm sorry, there's a little conference going on in the room here. Jimmy,
evidently, I opened my mouth at the wrong time.
But we definitely would love to see you out for the Misfits Ball. It's a terrific event, and it's helping two very worthwhile organizations,
yes,
the Houston Buyers Club and Spry.
All right. Anything else about the Misfits?
Nothing. How do you join?
Well, if you come to one of our bartendings at the Ripcord, and we bartend at the Ripcord on the patio the third Saturday of every month, that's the best way to come and talk to us and get to know us. After you've attended three of our events, such as bartendings and meetings, that's a good way to know whether or not we actually do want to join us. And once you do that, then you begin the pledge period, and the pledge period lasts 2 months, in which you work closely with your big brother, and we dress you funny. And we decide whether or not you're a good fit, because for the Misfits, what we're really looking for are guys who really fit our brotherhood. We think of ourselves as a really close-knit group, and if someone's going to join, the fit really matters for us. We think we're a fun group of guys, and we like other fun guys.
So you couldn't join, Jimmy?
No, I'm too old.
dressed
funny. And I already dress funny.
We don't always wear pink, so Jimmy couldn't join.
Forget it.
Yeah, if he can't wear pink, he's not doing
okay,
it.
So Facebook, see? Misfits Houston. Website is misfitshouston.com.
.org.
Just want to make sure about that.
And there's also an event page for Misfits Ball, Cirque du Sade, Misfits Ball 13, so you can check that out as well.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
Hey, that'll get a hold of us soon.
And we hope to see you at the ball and at our bartendings at the Ripcord.
No, you'll see me there.
Yeah,
Not for long.
If we can find you.
If we look up.
And then look down.
Wow. Ooh.
How about a little music and let's bring in our next
round. Okay.
All right, then. All right.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Is to love, love, love him, just to see him smile, makes my life worthwhile. To know him, is to love, love, love him, and I do,
and I do, and I do.
I'll be good to him. I'll make lunch for him.
Make lunch for him.
Everyone says there'll come a day when I'll walk alongside of him. Yes, just to know him is to love, 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 love him.
And I do.
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 Was meant
for me.
If you should ever need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never, ever worry. And if you should ever get caught short of life's desires, remember, life holds for you one guarantee. You'll always have me. No wind, no rain, no winter's cold.
Ah, to know him is to love, love, love him.
Love him.
Just to see him smile makes my life worthwhile.
Laura, was that the Flirtations?
Yes, it was.
Hopefully you picked the outro music I suggested.
Oh?
I picked the album you suggested.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you had a particular one on there you wanted, but I just picked one.
Well, with us right now is Stage Door Inc.
Woo!
They are opening up a production of Rocky Horror.
Oh, and I can't wait.
Yes, opening next week, but because of these, usually we have them on here their opening weekend, but they've changed their times.
Yes.
And so we're having them here a week early. So why don't y'all introduce yourselves and what part you are in here?
I am Justin Nicholson, and I am playing Frankenfurter. Woo.
Wow.
And he's really excited about it. I'm Stephanie Kirkpatrick. I'm playing Janet.
And my name is Jennifer Nall, and I am a featured phantom. And I was told to say hi to Big Mama listening back at the theater.
What?
I made it happen, Mark.
Yes.
So, you, it's going to be productions the 3rd through the 17th. Mm-hmm. It's only a 3-week run.
Yes.
And shows are Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., and special Saturday night performances at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight show, Rocky Horror.
And discount tickets for all midnight shows.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah.
And costume contests for all midnight shows.
Mm.
Oh, good grief. I don't know what's going to be scary, the performance or just being down and passing accounts for a ball
in the Yeah.
There's going to be all the props, the whole shebang.
So. Right, we'll have prop bags for $5.
Ah, great.
Yeah, I remember seeing it there 2 years ago, and it was very interesting to see that performance. I know Justin's been here several times. Have the rest of y'all been here before?
I've been here quite a few times. This is my first show with Stage Door, so I've never been here. Oh no!
Oh
my goodness!
So, like Rocky, we have our own virgin questions that we ask.
Okay.
Why community theater and why Stage Door?
Why community theater? Because why not community theater?
Why not?
No, I love community theater. I love working with a big group of people and throwing something together in a month and seeing what you can do. And why Stage Door? I saw they were doing Rocky. My last 3 shows I did around town were children's shows, and I thought, let's just go
to the opposite direction. End. Yeah.
I went from The Wizard of Oz to Rocky Horror, so, you know.
Wow, that's
a big, yeah.
Went from one set of high heels to another.
Exactly. I had my silver slippers, and now I have my
fishnets
and, yeah, my red sparkle pumps. So.
Oh, my. The puns that abound.
And Justin's one of the regulars. You've been there almost from the beginning?
No, I've been there from the beginning. I built it from the floor up twice.
By himself.
No, with Dario. But that's about it.
But yeah, you were in last time they did Rocky, right?
Yes. I was riffraff last time.
Yes. Yeah, because I've been going there so long there. I've seen you just about everyone in the performance. Like, okay, where's Justin going to be at in this one? You know, everyone from playing a plant to a drug dealer.
Those were two good parts.
Nice. Drug dealer was nice.
A little brief walk on part. But...
Yes, I had a cameo in the last show.
In Rent. what is it like for y'all to be doing, I mean, especially in our community, this is such an iconic movie, mm-hmm. and then to be being a part of something like, you know, like I said, it's different with some plays. It's not, you know, it has that, well-known status, but this is something that's so iconic that you're in something that people who are watching hopefully will know it enough that they're going to interact when you're supposed to interact.
They better. I've been practicing. They're yelling stuff at me all day.
Yeah, because if they don't, we're going to be in trouble when we open, and she's going to figure it out that we've just been trying to throw her off.
So, I mean, what is it like to be a part of something that's, you know, as... you know, time-tested and iconic of a feature as Rocky Horror?
I think Rocky is really one of the hardest plays to put on because of the audience interaction. I don't know if I would have been comfortable with the role I got having not done the show before. Now I know what to expect because you really don't know what to expect until it happens.
Yeah, you're about 2 foot taller than the last Rocky, though.
But... I lost my train of thought.
I think it's an interesting challenge to sort of take a show that is so iconic and reimagine it in a way that's new and interesting. And I think we've done a good job of that. I think the costuming, the set design, we've been working on it. Well, we've been working on it. I've been painting where they tell me to paint. But it's an interesting concept. And I think it's going to be what you expect, but totally different at the same time.
Because it's also, from what I've seen in the pictures, because Mark likes to put up pictures on Facebook, it looks like a completely different set from 2 years ago.
It's completely different.
With it, you know, a different look to it, mm-hmm. even from that. And, you know, like I said, that's one of the things that just interests me with some of the, with the plays and all that you do. I mean, your last one you did with Rent, you know, the fact that the audience members know that so well that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you were hearing the audience members singing than the person on stage because they know in the words. And this is something that definitely the audience who usually goes to these, except the one, when I went to Rocky last time, a lot of us didn't know that, so Mark's actually sitting in the back of the audience yelling
the
things
to him. Yeah. Of course he is.
To try and prompt, like, give me a script and a light here and I'll follow along. So we've got Stage Door, so we've got that Rocky Horror coming up, and following that is Evil Dead the musical.
Yes. We have auditions this weekend, this Sunday and Monday, a week from tomorrow.
Now, I've been asked by some people who have seen productions of The Evil Dead elsewhere, will there be the blood splattering?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's going to be a splatter.
I've been talking Mark into it all year.
Because I've had some people saying that if they don't do the blood splatter, it's not worth going to see.
I said if we're not doing the blood splatter, it's not worth auditioning, so... It better be there.
So I will have to inform those people that...
We're planning on doing it so much that we're going to be selling the white t-shirts with the logo on it, like so you can have the Gwar memorabilia to put on your wall.
Okay.
Your stained shirts.
I will have to tell people, make sure we get that part, because like I said, I've had some friends of mine that saw it elsewhere, and they're like, when I heard about it, it's like, are they going to be doing the blood splatter? I said, I don't know, you know. This theater company is strange enough, they will do that.
Yeah, I think you can tell them bring their goggles, because they're going to get dirty.
Yeah, that's one thing with Stage Wars I like, is that, you know, it's a classic, but there's always that little weird twist that comes into it, and you're sitting there going, did I just see that, or did I just...
I think we have plenty of those moments in Rocky, too. So
yeah. Yes. I mean, the easiest way I can explain to it, if you want to know how twisted this theater can get with it, they put the theme from Brokeback Mountain in a children's production.
We did that.
What was that?
Mark, when did we do that?
Frog and Toad.
Oh,
that's so inappropriate.
I didn't catch it at that point until later on they mentioned it's like, oh my God, it actually was. I still tease my niece with your line from that play.
Oh Lord, everyone teases me from the play.
I'd like to hear this.
Can every so once in a while, I'll just go up to her and say, Mia, because she was with me, and it's like that line just stuck with her. And so every once in a while, I'll just tease her and go, hey, Mia, I haven't said this to you in a while, but there's a snail. I'm a snail with the mail, and I'm here.
I will never live that song down.
It's a good one.
Stuck in my head for the rest of my life.
Sorry, I can't.
As I said, that's some of the diversity he's played. He's played,
right, yeah,
he's played a plant.
I was like probably the only person that I played that wasn't trying to kill someone in one of these plays
dealer.
Of Mark's.
That's true. That's Is there true. Any murder in Frog and Toad? I don't know.
No.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, you do seem to play
play the villain.
No, you... Well, yeah, you were the doctor, the crazy doctor.
Oh, what was
Linus.
The crazy doctor? Who was the only one.
Oh yeah, Linus. Linus. I don't think I killed anyone with my blanket in Charlie Brown.
She did call me names, so I'm still getting over those wounds.
Oh, and you played the crazy doctor.
Well, I played like 20 people in Laramie, yeah. So like I'm sure some of them were good and bad.
Yeah, you played one of the defendants. I remember that part, and it's bartender. That was the first play I saw with Stage Door. Was Laramie Project. That's what got y'all here. I dragged you on the show. yeah, there's a couple of them you haven't played bad guys. The fiance that was on briefly on.
Oh yeah.
On Golden Pond.
Golden Pond.
Because I forget.
I'm so.
Well, see, I've been to since Laramie Project. I've been to just about every show except maybe four. Of the adult ones, and usually I've been to a lot of the kid ones because I have a niece that I take to those events. So it's like I went through there and was showing the posters going, yes, yes, no, no, yes, no.
I love those posters. That's helped me learn all the people who I need to know in the cast. Like I just walk by and take notes of who.
So we've got, like I said, Stage Door Inc. at StageDoorInc.com. They're also on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And right now it's Rocky Horror coming up for the next 3 weeks. At 8 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays, midnights on Sundays. Mm-hmm. It's a discounted midnight Saturday into Sunday. Right. When this show starts, they're starting in Pasadena. Is the easy way to put it for you, because that's how we tell people our show is Saturday night to Sunday morning. The same hours will apply for The Evil Dead.
Yes.
You can get ticket information at their website, stageshowinc.com.
They'll both be a three-week run. So we have always done four-week runs, and these two were trying to fit them both in for Halloween. So
kind of squeeze it in there. And like I said, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on the website. Get your ticket information there. Then a Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Christmas Carol. It's going to be good.
A different kind of Christmas Carol. It is this one's going to be a Stage Rink production, original production. Set in Nollins.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like nothing you ever seen.
Tiny Tim, would you go buy some boudin?
Yeah, they're turducken at the...
Yeah, the turducken. Oh, that's it.
I'd really like to try
go down
and
buy
people.
The biggest turducken you can find at the... at Lafayette's. Mark's sitting there going, damn, that's good. I mean... don't forget the corn dog dressing in there for me. Running joke I have with him. Okay, so like I said, once again, it's there down at Pasadena Town Square. I'll be down there in a couple of weeks to see Rocky.
It's going
to
be good.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of nudity.
And if I could just clarify, it's an actual stage production. We're not shadow casting. Mm-hmm. I think that surprises a lot of people because when I tell them that, you know, we're doing Rocky Horror, they automatically think like they do in River Oaks or they do at NASA Dollar Theater. This is actually all on stage, in your face, interacting with the audience.
In your face. And it's
coming for you.
It's not the, it's going to sound very strange to say, this is not the sanitized Tim Curry version. This is a
I had to think about that for a second.
This, unsanitized.
This is up a notch more. It's not cleaned up enough to get an R rating. It's not dirty enough for an X rating, but it's just
that perfect in between.
Right.
if we can get through it without laughing, it'll be a C-17.
It's that kind of, you know, first Skinamax movie of the night, you know. Not just enough titillation, but not enough to get you there.
Okay.
I don't know. You haven't been to these rehearsals. We may be there.
No offense. Just as long as like the last time there, it's not Janet shoving her ass in my face during the
dancing.
I'll
try to stay away from you then. I'll keep
it. What the hell are you doing bringing Janet? Well, then again, you know, it was probably a little better ass than Brad's.
So what does Rocky wear?
I don't know. If
they've already told you he's not wearing what he was teasing you about wearing.
I know.
It's a surprise. Y'all to come and see.
Although
it.
Rocky did put on his floor show outfit today and showed everyone.
Today again? Wow.
Yes. Oh, he did it yesterday.
He did it last week.
He must be very proud
he's
of it.
He's excited.
Okay, Mark, you can contact me off Facebook with pictures too.
And send them to Wes, too.
Is there an ex Facebook?
Well, if you count all the ads you see for something besides that, but no. Well,
yeah.
He knows how to. There's people there that know how to contact me off Facebook. Somebody over there's got my number.
Oh, they've got your number already.
So,
our email addresses are on the Louis Weekend site. Just send them to that.
Yeah.
Two of the three. So, once again, Stage Door Inc., Pasadena Town Square. It's Rocky is going on now for 3 weeks, and after that, The Evil Dead.
Ooh.
Following that, Evil Dead, the musical.
I know. Evil Dead, the musical.
Are you still looking for the wheelchair scooter?
We are, I think.
Yes.
So if anybody out there wants
the makeup budget alone.
For Evil Dead,
yeah.
The blood bucket budget.
Christopher will have his hands full. If you want to be a part of helping the sponsor theater, if you have a mechanized wheelchair or scooter, they need some assistance there.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So contact them at Stage Door Inc. On that, like I said, stagedoorinc.com. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We will see you,
very soon.
I know Jimmy wants to go, so probably, you know, we'll figure something. He wants to go on a Friday night, so we'll see what we can set up there.
Do you have a preview?
Just show up for rehearsals.
Well, let me know who you'd rather have dance in your lap, and I can try to hook it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Just if you have a preference, just write it down and give it to Mark.
Okay. I'll download the poster and circle.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Circle and X.
They should know who I would. So. All right. We have appropriate outgo music for them.
Yes. Are we ready for that?
I believe so. Thank you for coming. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
Dreamy, oh fantasy, free me, so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip,
and nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation,
like you're under sedation. To the left. Put your hands on your hips.
We got the flyer. Oh.
What?
You guys have a flyer for...
Oh, yeah.
So he has some notes here. Oh, my God. Jimmy's at the window.
I'll kick him out of the seat in a second.
Here we go. Bring the microphone over here a little closer. And
no problem.
There's on so you can hear.
Okay.
We are just full of quickies here tonight. Would you introduce yourself and...
Hi, my name's Eddie Zopper, and I'm here to represent a collaborative effort of five different groups. One called the Positive Posse, which is, these are all on meetup.com. Positive Posse is an LGBT group for HIV social. Pass It On Charity is a collective group of just doing eclectic charity events.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, the LGBT couples group. Cultures Inside the 610, which I'm sure you've heard of.
No,
actually I haven't.
Culture Inside the 610 group.
Never heard of it.
Is, oh my God, she started that, Alexandria?
Oh, no, Alexandra?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know her. Okay, now I know the group.
Okay. And GLBT Coffee and Dinner and Friends. Okay. We've all gotten together. Last year we did the Cashada Bus Run, and we raised about $800 for the Fall Harvest.
Yeah.
This year we're adding on a second event called Diva's Dish Dessert. Riva's Restaurant has agreed to let us be there on Saturday, November 5th from 3 to 5. The goal is that we're trying to get individuals to enter their individual desserts for the award called the Montrose Master Baker, or Master Baker of Montrose.
I love that.
But we've already, Alexandria, in fact, has arranged for us for several drag queens, and we've found a DJ. So we hope to make it a little bit of a cocktail party and serve desserts and have people bring canned goods or donate what they want. But that's good. Mm-hmm. And on October 15th, we're meeting at the Walgreens over here, and we're leaving for a bus to Cashada. It's $12.50 per person, but that is all going, again, to the Fall Harvest fundraiser. Last year we went, we stayed about 5 hours. A couple of people actually won a couple $1,000 last year. So,
it's always good.
You know, they didn't lend me any of the money. But what else can I answer for you?
So tell us more about Positive Posse.
Positive Posse started about 3 years ago. A gentleman named Travis started that. It was his idea to just get together to give somebody a social media. He actually got the idea from the original group is in London. That's called Positive Posse, and one of their big things is, of course, they do walks every week, supposedly. I've never seen them, but anyway, we do the first Monday of every month, we do a Positive Bond dinner. You can go to positivemeetup.com, and you're welcome to join.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
What's the website again? A little slower. So
I'm sorry. If you go to positiveposse@meetup.com, any of the groups we mentioned are all meetup.com.
Groups. meetup.com. Yes. You can do a search for those organizations or just put slash.
You don't even have to type in meetup.com. If you type in Positive Posse, it'll take you to the homepage, well as any of the other groups. But Positive Posse, we do two fundraisers a year. We try to do this and the AIDS Walk as many groups I've seen tonight. I'm very impressed. I've never been here before, so it's kind of like a Grand Central Station tour for me.
Yeah, it's been that way tonight.
Oh, you mean this was just for me? It's just a show for me?
Usually we just have one or two quick. It's not that often we have this many.
Yeah,
we haven't even got to our main show yet.
I feel like the guy behind Bullwinkle pushing it. Anyway, we do social too. In fact, one of the upcoming things we're fixing to do is we're going to go to the theater again in Galveston to see Tuna Christmas. So,
nice.
Again, it's just trying to form a social network, a family network. So,
of positive people.
Yes, or positive friendly people, but LGBT.
Okay.
So, but also, I'd like to mention the other groups in there if I can, too.
Sure, please do.
Pass It On Charity, which is the T-shirts we gave you, started about 2 years ago. In the last year, we've gotten really strong. We've done things from doing bingo night at the Center for the Retarded. Am I putting you to sleep already?
No. It's not you. Trust me.
We did the AIDS Walk. We've done several other different things. We did Star of Hope mission. So it's a fun group, but it's open to anybody who wants to join, and we hope for people to come to bring their own energy to.
Sure.
Kind of like a bulletin board if they want to post some kind of fundraiser or event to get people. We have about 225 members so far.
That's good.
And, of course, GLPT Coffee Dinner and Friends meets every Thursday at Starbucks, and they go to dinner once a month. And nobody can top
that. Is that the one Merlin goes to?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You just know everybody, don't you?
Merlin's been a fixture at this show for about 10 years.
He's been a fixture in Montrose for...
Oh, a lot longer.
I mean that politely. I'm probably going to have a spell on me before I leave. And then, of course, there's Alexandria's group that is culture inside the 610 group. And her group is phenomenal because they probably have 10 or 15 events a week posted from different people of different stuff to go see or do.
That's good.
So, anyway, we hope to find the Montrose Master Baker and raise money for November 5th at Divas at Riva's.
The Divas Dish Dessert at Riva's.
Yes, November 5th.
November 5th from 3 to 5?
Yes, in the afternoon.
And for more information on this and all the other ones, you can go to meetup.com.
Are you going to have posters or something so, you know, like for the press, for the media, for us?
I ran out of them.
Ah, okay.
Travis only gave me so many.
Okay.
People can reach me at... I guess the easiest one is zomperlewis@yahoo.com. Or they can go to any of these websites and just type an email.
How do you spell that?
zomperlewis@yahoo.com. And, of course, we have our... I love the...
The Walking Cupcakes?
Nope. The Deepest Line.
Oh.
Where's my freaking cupcake?
Oh, okay.
But anyway. So, thank you for letting us be on.
Well, thank you for coming and let us know, because that's what we're about, is, you know, letting people know about some of the different events that are out there.
And groups, too, because this is the first time Positive Posse has been here.
Yes.
And I think it's really important that people know about it.
It's a good group.
Hope you get some...
You know, there's actually another group, too, that if... Oh, actually, that's the other thing, if I can bring up
sure,
real quick.
Sure,
is, I don't know if people are aware that, of course, Stone Soup lost their funding.
Yes.
And so Stone Soup now is, of course, closed. I volunteer at Stone Soup once mm-hmm. a week, so mm-hmm. I'm just bringing that up. Sure. There's a shortage.
Are they closed, or are they just going on what people bring them?
Basically that. But mm-hmm. they're closing... August 31st, they're closing. September, they're telling that their current clients have to come in. I think it's the week of September 12th or something there. They've got to come back and re-register, but they're only taking 350 clients now.
Oh.
And then they're going back to just a donation basis. Okay. So the point we're getting to is that, in fact, we just sent a letter that we're trying to motivate Outsmart to do an article on the shortage of food pantries and the need. Sure. Just in general.
I know RMCC has been active in their food pantry.
Yes, that's what the Fall Harvest pretty much benefits. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think they keep a more limited...
I don't know.
Well, according to their website, they keep like about a 50 or 60 people client base. But that's understandable.
Oh, goodness. Yeah,
because you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Sure. But just there's an overall need for the...
So those are the only two I know of in the gay community.
Yes. Stone Soup goes back a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Soup was on Westheimer, and it was a grocery store.
Yep.
Hmm. They used to have cold food, frozen food.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
I know. Maybe we should just take over Kroger. They call it Gay Kroger anyway.
I know.
All right. Once again, so one is the Positive Posse Casino Trip.
Positive Posse Casino Trip is October 15th on a Saturday. We're going to meet at the Walgreens parking lot. We do need to get you pre-registered if you'd like to come. We still have spots open. It's $12.50 per person. All that money does go to the Fall Harvest. We come back about 8 o'clock that night. We're going to give prizes along the way. Cashada has a wonderful buffet. Hopefully you can win money. Yeah. Last year, somebody won a couple $1,000s. Mm. So hopefully they'll be funding our trip.
Sure. Keep us informed as other events coming up, and we'll make sure we get out to our people.
You
to
bet.
Our
listeners.
Thank you for letting us be on the air.
Sure.
Like I said, that's part of what we do here at the community radio, is make sure that all of our community gets a chance to be heard.
It's great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Where are we going now, Jimmy?
We're
going
to go do some music.
All right.
Is it twisted? Is it sick?
Those buttons.
Yeah.
That those are the ones that I need to hit. Ah, oh, that's nice. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, Gigi?
Doing great.
So what's up tonight?
Well, I was going to talk a little about radical fairies, and I brought Anne with me. Of course, she's always great to have on the show. But before I get into that, I've noticed they've got a new research article out that bisexuality does exist.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, yeah, screw you, Dan Savage.
A giant step for the boys. The bi boys.
Yeah. What's wrong with that man anyway?
I don't know. Well, actually, you know who was behind that one?
What?
The AIB.
The AIB?
The American Institute on Bisexuality that Fritz Klein set up before he died.
Oh.
So they were the ones that helped sponsor that study and set up the way to truly measure it correctly.
It's just crazy anyway.
I know.
I can't believe anybody questions it.
Oh, you know, and I've been seeing so many emails coming out around that, you know, like, well, why do they need a study? We're here.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
You know, they don't have a study on does heterosexuality exist?
No. And then, in fact, hello, has anybody seen the Kinsey scale?
Oh,
they're zero and six, and what the hell do you think is all in between?
Oh, yeah. And then one that came out that really floored me on FetLife was someone came up with, well, you're a true bisexual is attracted to both 50-50, and that's very rare.
Yes.
And I said, darling, look at me. It may be rare, but...
Sweetie, you're pretty rare, you know?
Oh, I bet. Well, not just because of that.
I know, but it is rare.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, that discounts so much of the bisexual world when you look at a 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
And what is 50-50 anyway? how do you even begin to measure something like that?
I can't even, yeah.
Especially when the scientific community still can't really get it right in their research.
Yeah.
So... And a few more words on all this.
Okay.
You know, I was... You know me and my take on gender and sexual orientation anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole concept of sexual orientation, the way we define it, is flawed at the core.
Mm-hmm.
Because it assumes there's only two genders.
Yeah.
And so... It's no wonder they can't prove anything, because the whole basis, the whole foundation on academic knowledge on human sexuality is flawed.
Of course.
So that's all I'll say on that part.
Okay,
I did want to throw that in, because I was glad to hear that finally bisexuality does exist. Goodness, I don't know where I've been all my life. But anyway, I was thinking about radical fairies. I don't know if you saw my latest post.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, I put out a call to either do a radical fairy gathering, camp out gathering, either August. I mean, not August, September, or have them come to the ESA festival and do fairy camp.
Now, I did see that, yes.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go with the fairy camp at the ESA festival, because it'll just simplify things a whole lot. That, and there's some other stuff behind the scenes that I really don't want to get too deep into until we get the group built back up. But... You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit was heart circles tonight, because that's really at the core of the radical fairies. And, you know, Anne, have you ever been to a heart circle?
Well, I don't know how the radical fairies do it, but I've been to a hard circle.
Oh, okay. It's probably similar. And, you know, I've been to many, many hard circles, not just with radical fairies, but in other organizations, they sometimes call them by different names, but they pretty much amount to the same thing. In a heart circle, basically, you speak from the heart. And when someone's speaking, it's asked that everybody be fully present and listen. Don't do a conversation during a heart circle. It's about hearing people. And when you're speaking, you want to speak from your heart, not just from random thoughts. And really speak in a way that's respectful of yourself and everybody present. And that's kind of the running rules on a heart circle. Jim, have you ever been to a heart circle?
Push this button here. It says hot load.
He's having technical problems.
I'm learning something.
Oh, okay. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
But anyway, I've seen some amazing things happen in a heart circle. Conflict resolution, people realizing and at a very deep level that, okay, what we were fighting about really isn't the issue. It's and what really is the issue a lot of times is our own fears. That's where a lot of conflict comes from. And once you can get into a heart circle and explore that, you can form very good bonds with others. Very strong bonding.
I agree.
But does that sound pretty similar to what you've experienced?
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. A lot of times, though, in various heart circles, depending on which group it's in, there may be some other form of ritual or some other additional activity, but it's basically, it boils down to the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, in the past, when we've had radical fairy gatherings, we've always included heart circles at them. And also sweat lodges. And although this year, with the drought, we may not be able to have sweat lodge because of the burn bans. But I see heart circle as pretty close to, in some ways, in dynamics, as a sweat lodge because of the depth you go into. I mean, they're worlds apart in many ways, but but some of the same dynamics occur in it.
Yeah. And it's basically the healing is able to take place. You go through a certain set of rituals or a certain dynamic within that group, and you come together and you overcome your insecurities, you face your fears, you work through them. In an opening and supportive environment, to support each other, and also it empowers the individual, but also it empowers the whole group as well, because we also learn from each other within that heart circle.
Yeah.
And okay, before you get into that thought there, Gigi, we need to go ahead and step out and do our PSAs in the top of the hour, and then we'll come back and let you continue on.
Okay, all right,
here's your PSAs.
Be back shortly.
Throughout September, Houston Rescue and Restore Coalition will host its 5th annual Human Trafficking Awareness Month. A variety of events will take place, such as a 5K run, an interfaith service, a film series, a fair trade shopping event, and much more. Many of the events will be free of charge and open to the public. Through these events, HRRC hopes to educate and engage the community on the issue of human trafficking. For more information about Human Trafficking Awareness Month, visit HoustonRR.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Would you like to feel more peace and happiness in your relationships and enhance your ability to communicate with others? Would you like a deeper awareness and acceptance of your feelings and needs, all of them? If you are curious about these possibilities, join us on September 15th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Dominican Center, 6501 Almeda, for a free 3-hour introduction to a process known as compassionate communication, or also known as nonviolent communication. This free 3-hour introduction will be followed by a 3-day training and facilitated by Raj Gill, the founder of the Freedom Project Canada. For more information, visit www.houstonnvc.org or phone Susan at 281-412-4564. Please join us.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, a listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, soon to be 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, now broadcasting in high-definition radio. Booyah! We're going to take a little music break, and when we come back, more of Gigi. Hey, don't forget, we're on Facebook. Look us up at facebook.com/afterhourskpft.
I have been unsheltered by, uncared for by love. Still I have stayed a believer, true to the faith of a dreamer. Shadow of a heart.
back again. We've been talking about the Radical Fairies. So, let me see. Where were we? We're on heart circles. And I don't know. I've had some very amazing experience during heart circles. A bonding occurred. I've had them in the bi community and in the gay community, in the Radical Fairies. And one of the things that occurred was I felt a deeper bond with the people that I was doing the heart circle with. It gave me a sense of tribe, belonging, and being a part of something greater than myself. And it was just this connection between people that's, you know, because in our culture, we're so used to discussions and talking, and but the art of listening often gets lost. And to be fully present with the person who's talking and fully attentive is a skill we've kind of lost in our culture. Usually when they're talking, we're thinking about what we're going to say next. But in a heart circle, it's more meditative, and you kind of go into, for me, I kind of go into this trance of being fully present in the here and now, not thinking about what's 10 minutes from now, but being fully present. And that's a very powerful thing.
I've had the group make talking sticks.
Oh,
and everybody
yes.
got to put a design on the talking stick or the peace stick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really powerful for the group to come together. It's kind of crafty. For some people aren't that crafty, but you
yeah.
know, still they could scroll, you know, put a little design on it or you know, put a little, you know, thumbprint or something on it. So what we did was we each got to hold the peace stick or yeah. the talking stick
yeah.
when it was your turn to talk.
Yeah.
And whoever held it,
mm-hmm.
they had the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
in fact, the talking stick I used for the Radical Fairies is a double-headed phallus carved out of oak.
Awesome.
Which is so appropriate for the Radical Fairies. But you were about to say?
No, but after you finish talking, you're depending on how you want to run the heart circle.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it two ways. You've just gone ahead and you've passed it. Either you could, at the end of your, talking, you can also go, well, okay, I want feedback, or no, I don't want feedback.
Yeah.
So that also empowered the person holding it.
Yeah.
So if you want feedback, everybody had the opportunity to say something supportive
mm-hmm.
to what was said. Or if they chose not to, then they pass it. But when they're done, you just pass the stick on to the next person.
Yeah.
So everybody has a chance to be heard and what they said valued and without judgment. I think that was another thing that I found very powerful when we get together to do these things is you listen without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That you have an open mind and be truly receptive.
Yeah.
To what each individual has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we can also learn a lot from just the listening.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you said all that because that is part of the heart of it. It really goes to helping form such strong bonds between people.
Mm-hmm.
Is having that non-judgment zone, having that space where you can be truly yourself.
Right.
Because often in our society, we have to put up fronts and walls and put up shields and put on masks. But during a heart circle, you can drop all that and be truly who you are. And for some people, that's something that some people rarely get to experience. It's really phenomenal what can happen once you drop all that. But it's scary, too, because you have to become vulnerable.
Right, right. And I think in our society, too, though, society puts so many pressures on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
by telling, and even in our own community.
Yeah.
In order, if you're this, then you can't behave this way, or you can't look like this, or you can't act like this,
yeah,
or you don't fit the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that earlier.
I definitely don't fit any definitions.
So, but that's one thing that's very powerful too with the heart circles, mm-hmm, is that we learn to truly appreciate and accept the individual, mm-hmm, that's speaking.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I know that when I've done them in the bi community, it was amazing. The dynamics work differently a little bit when you have more than one gender present. But when you have just all gay males, or all lesbians, there's a whole different dynamic to it that occurs. The energy shifts, mm-hmm, slightly.
But that doesn't mean, though, that a group of lesbians and a group of gay men can't get together and have a heart circle and still value where we're coming from.
Exactly.
And still value each other as individuals, too.
But the other dynamic I've also seen is the unity it brings.
Exactly.
Whether it's just a gay male group or a bigger group, if it's a community group. And, you know, I think that's part of what's needed in our community today, is forming bonds between segments of the community.
I agree.
Because too often we have infighting, we have people kind of defining what should be the norm, and there's no norm. I think, you know, one of the things I studied, probabilities and statistics, and basically normal is average.
it's kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, actually, the definition of normal is the average. The average of the population is what fits in the norm.
I don't think I fit the norm, JG.
I definitely don't. And so why do we as groups want to set up norms and become average? That one always, where's the thinking in this?
Doesn't make much sense to me either.
Of course, I've studied things and have both a clinical definition of things and a spiritual definition, so I'm able to kind of hit an intuitive, and so I'm kind of coming from many directions when I come into a heart circle, or when I come into a ritual, I bring, or even when I do, back in the day when I was in social work, when I did probabilities and statistics and group work, I saw the dynamics from, mm-hmm, many different perspectives. So
one of the hardest support groups that I ever facilitated was for hardcore juvenile offenders.
Uh-huh.
and we did the pee stick.
Yeah.
And these kids came from some, you know, they overcame some very challenging, survived some very, mm-hmm, challenging experiences, and even though they came from similar backgrounds, their experiences were totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were dealing with racial issues as well as economic issues, and it was a struggle for them, but they grew to care for one another, and that was so empowering.
Yeah.
And when we did some work for Habitat.
Yeah.
And what was amazing was that they got so excited building this, working on this home for Habitat, for someone in the community. Mm-hmm. They started to forget about all their problems and started working together as a cohesive group. And it, mm-hmm, was just an amazing experience that, you know, really you know, sustained me to see that. I think it was amazing because they were part of something greater than themselves at that moment.
Yeah. Well, as you're speaking, I was thinking back to when I was in my late teens or early 20s, and I was so out there and different that few groups accepted me. And I had a boyfriend back then that was into some of the more spiritual stuff and into the some Eastern, some Western. And he took me to a heart circle once. And I think that was one of the first times in my life I felt a connection and felt a part of something. For so long, I felt isolated and kind of freakish and different. And, and when I shared, you know, I shared from my heart and about who I am. And while nobody else was quite like me, I was accepted for who I was. And that was so empowering.
Yes.
It's something that gave me a lot of strength. I walked away with it totally changed, transformed. Mm-hmm. So heart circles can be a very powerful thing.
Yes, they can.
Some of the other things that we do in the Radical Fairies, basically, Radical Fairies have, I mean, we've had meetings here in Houston. We've gathered together each other's homes. And then we do the Radical Fairy campout gathering.
I've heard some interesting things about that.
Oh, yeah. What have you heard?
Oh, I think it came from you, Judy.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant from other sources.
Well, no. I think I heard a few stories at ESA went out last year.
Yeah.
Because I had a couple of you guys with me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember now. Boy, I've just had about 10 thoughts flash through my brain. All simultaneously. Okay, which way? ADHD kicking in here.
And there's a lot of diversity within even the Radical Fairies.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm one of the leather fairies. There's a small group of us. not so many here in Houston. There's been a couple. But nationally, there's been a lot. Big contingent. We've got fairies of every tradition. I mean, think fairy for a minute. You've got mischievous fairies. You've got flighty fairies. You've got queen fairies. And you get this wild contingent of radical fairies out in the woods, and the magic starts happening. It's just amazing and incredible. I've done workshops on male masturbation that were fully hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were a little skittish about it. Some didn't want to come, but heard stories afterwards and then said, oh, I wish I'd gone. because that becomes very personal and very intimidating for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, not all, you know, you can attend what you want. There's often many things going on that, so you're not left out if you don't attend something. We do workshops. We do the non-talent show, which is a hoot. Everybody gets up and actually the one that I did poetry at one of them, and they said, oh, that's too talented. I got booed off the stage. So you have to do something truly non-talented and show your non-talents. But it becomes campy and fun.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing I love about the Radical Fairies so much, is it becomes so campy and fun. You let the inner kid come out and play. we have our serious moments, and then we have our really fun, playful. Then we did some very powerful rituals. And at some point, I'd like to do a radical fairy gathering in the springtime during belt fertility time and do a stag hunt.
That's what I said. Didn't y'all have a stag hunt?
Oh, yes.
I think I heard about that.
We did a stag hunt one year, and that was a hoot.
That's one of the stories I heard.
Ah, yes. And I've done stag hunts for the pagan community, too, and that it's a very powerful ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a fun ritual, and, you know, oftentimes in the pagan community, I've been to some of the most dry and intensely, what's the word, serious rituals where, you know, all this protocol and, well, not protocol, but kind of dogma was associated with it. Everybody had to walk in the right order and do the right things, and everything had to be picture perfect, and it was like, and then I did rituals that were fun, and it's like the fun ones, it's like, wow, things happen, amazing things can happen. So during the stag hunt, you can either choose to be a hunter or a stag, and then the fun begins.
Mm-hmm.
All the stags are sent out to kind of check out their territory and mark their territory in whatever way they want to. But they have to become animalistic. They have to lose their speech. They have to grunt, stomp the ground, do whatever, roll on the ground, become animal. And the hunters have to kind of lose their modern sense and really get into the whole sense of a blood hunt, the wild hunt, and it brings that, what you know, that primal self out. And then we have the hunters paint themselves while the stags are out learning their territory. Then we bring everybody back. The hunters on one side of the fire, the stags on the other, and they stare at each other and make noises. And
sounds like a lot of fun.
And then, oh, that's just the prep for this. So everybody's in the right mindset. Then we release the stags out in the wild while the hunters do their hunting dance and ask the god and goddess for good fortune in their hunt. And then the hunt begins. And the hunters go out and try to find the stags. And it's all done without flashlights. And we only do the ritual when there's a full moon for the event. And people have come back after the hunt and said, it's amazing how my senses transformed. I could see in the dark. I could hear things that I don't normally hear. I became attuned to things that I wasn't even aware I could be attuned to. So it's a very powerful ritual, but it's a lot of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
And hunters would be capturing their stags and bringing them in. And
and then more fun begins.
Oh, yeah. Well, then after the hunt, the stags have to negotiate what services they'll perform to regain their freedom back to the wild.
Wonderful.
So you can imagine, whether it's a pagan stag hunt or a radical fairy, a lot of interesting negotiations mm-hmm. occur. And then the fun, I mean, the whole thing is fun, but it's amazing where it can go.
That's great.
So that's part of what we do. And then the other thing we do is work together. Part of it's work. Gathering firewood, so we have fires at night. Setting up, you know, we try to do community meals, but you don't have to participate. You can bring your own meals, especially those that are on special diets or something. So we understand. But the community meal is great because we all take turns working together, cooking together, cleaning. And, you know, I found that, I guess it was in Boy Scouts, I discovered, you know, a job goes so much quicker and easier when you do it together than when you do it by yourself.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, the camaraderie. And it becomes more fun.
Yes.
But I also found that a certain bonding occurred when you work together.
Yes.
To make something happen. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, for me, I found that I own the event more when I put work into it.
Yes, there's more value.
Yeah.
Greater value.
So.
But also when people come together and they work towards something whether it's to build something or put something together, you know, the work becomes fun.
Yeah.
You build relationships. You bond with the people involved. But it's also, all the work doesn't fall just on a few. It's spread out. So you have not just a few people working to build it, but you have everybody working to do it.
Yeah.
The work goes by so much faster. It's a lot of fun. It's almost like a party in itself.
Oh, it is.
And then you just have an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've seen that in so many different groups.
Yeah.
That makes it really special.
Then the other part of a radical fairy that is one of the more magical parts to me is when we do the drum circles around the fire. And we dance naked to the drum beats. Or those that want to go naked. Some like to go clothed partially to some degree. But there's just this magic in drumming. It gets that heartbeat rhythm going. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you start dancing. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've tranced out while dancing to the drumming around the fire. And, and it, you know, the drumming has its own kind of path.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be wild and frenzied, and other times it becomes very
slow and methodic.
Yeah, and it just all of a sudden you're with a group of people, all sharing this together, and it's amazing.
It is. I think that you see all the drummers coming together,
mm-hmm.
and then the dancers come in, and almost it seems all so interconnected and just like a sense of oneness.
Yeah. And back, you know, it's the last couple of years, my hand tremors have gotten too bad, but I used to, especially back at the Radical Fairy, some of the Radical Fairy gatherings, the earlier ones, I'd get out and spin fire while the drumming was going on. And that was awesome because it added more magic. And basically, when you spin fire, you've got these wicks on chains. You dip them in fuel and light them and then start twirling them around your body. And it's like it becomes this visual ecstasy of fire. It's just incredible to do and to watch.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I know you've spun some fire.
Well, I've been practicing with a boy.
Yeah.
I haven't lit up.
Oh, okay.
I've lit up with the batons, but not with the poi.
Ah.
Not in... And
well,
it's
we've got to get you to light up that poison.
I know. I've gotten about five different ones down and been working on my transition and...
Mm-hmm.
Need to sit with the move recently and everything else going on. I haven't had a chance to get out there with them. So now I'm a backyard to practice in, and I'm excited.
Got to practice up for the next gathering. And if anybody wants to learn how to spin, I can still teach, even though I can't do it as well. I can do it on lit, but I don't trust my hand trimmers. They just advance too much.
Well, I loved going out to ESA, and they were just so helpful and so generous. Mm-hmm. And
and they've got quite a fire-spinning team out
they
there.
They do.
I mean,
yes.
And they've got all the safety people on board, and so it's really amazing how they've worked it out. And
they're very generous. If you're really sincere and you're willing to work at it, they're more than happy to
help teach you.
Yes, absolutely.
So you know, I think that part of the radical fairy gatherings, even though I'm very much thinking about combining it with the pagan festival, we can have fairy camp back in the adult area.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And that way we can be part of fairies when we want to be, and we can also explore, for those that are interested, explore some of the pagan traditions and rituals up front.
That'd be great.
But we'll have our own space in the back for the fairies.
Sounds like a wonderful time. I love it out there.
Oh, and it's such a beautiful area. I mean, we've got cedar trees with a lot of yupon and other trees, and some oak, a lot of oak. It's nice and shady, so...
It's a real nice environment, and it just has a really good feel and a great energy out there.
And yeah. And I've been working on the energy in that space for many, many years. It's got a lot of good energy.
It does.
And it's seen a lot of good people through there.
Seen a lot of things out there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we've even had BDSM groups come out and camp out there and set up full dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very powerful because... I mean, to be spanking out in the moonlight, ooh, baby. Of course, we had tiki torches going, so we had some light so that you could see what you're sweating at. But then we haven't done one of the things we haven't done in a long time, but I have done it for the Radical Fairies, was out in the back meadow. We mowed it and had a bonfire. And that was very... And with the bonfire, we'd do the drum circle. And when you have a big, huge fire going, it's very powerful. And me, I love fire. I mean, fire's one of the elements. Well, I like all the elements. But I bring this up because, you know, I'd like to see the Radical Fairies come back together again.
It's
awesome. Been stagnant, I mean, kind of dead for a couple of years now, and I'd like to see it revitalize and take off again, even if it's only 5 or 10 of us to kick it off.
Absolutely.
I think it would be good to reincarnate the group again, and Houston Radical Fairies has gone through this cycle over and over. I mean, I've been involved in and out with them since my 20s.
Well, yeah, that's the nature of thing. Nature is cyclical. Yeah. You know, we have our different seasons. Mm. The moon has its cycles. Mm. Everything is cyclical. Yeah.
But especially with Radical Fairies, because we are such a disorganized group, it's just kind of more prone to these cycles of being very active for a while, then dropping to inactivity, and you know, it takes someone to really kick it off, or a small handful.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And, you know, I think the time's coming. I've been hearing more on the list about an interest in getting it kicked off again.
That's great. That's great, because so, I know the community needs the Radical Fairies.
Yeah.
Because y'all do add something special to the community.
Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, I do have to say one thing. You know, my friend Zachary, he's been to a lot of these fairy gatherings with me. And, you know, we kind of say it half in jest. The Houston Radical Fairies is anything but radical. It's more like conservative fairies for a lot of them, which is cool. You know, I'm probably the most radical of them all in this part of the world. But I'm accepting of all walks and all paths in the fairy group, and that's what fairies are about, being accepting of each person and their space and boundaries. So whether conservative or very radical, come and join the adventure.
Hey, that's great.
So Jeremy, did you have anything you wanted to add on this? Oh, he took off again. Okay. Well, why don't we go to some music, and we'll come back and kind of wrap some things up.
Yeah, I just have to stretch for a second here while we didn't have any music queued up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got some new people out there on the back patio, so I think Jimmy's out window shopping. And
oh, okay. Oh, I know Jimmy. He might be upstairs by now.
scaring the small woodland creatures that have came into our show.
Well, what about some of the history of the fairies? You were telling me that it's...
Why don't we come back to that after a music break?
Okay.
Well, just we're a little of the history.
Jimmy's box is so extensive, it takes a while to reach in there and pull out something good.
Oh, I understand. So, actually, if you've got some more flirts, something inside so strong.
We'll see. Maybe we'll queue up for either an outro or a second one for you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's go to a little music.
I like the wet spots, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we only have them on video.
Oh, okay.
That's the twisted part. We do occasionally play video on here, so it's... We have played the wet spots. Yeah, we have to be careful with some of their songs.
I understand.
I would love to edit Dildo Annie and play that. So let's go to a piece of music, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Dildo Annie.
Going for days and days. Follow the bliss, you need this.
again.
And what was that piece of music?
That was the B-52s doing Keep This Party Going.
All right.
I love the B-52s.
Oh, me too. Well, now
we were talking about assimilation while the music was on.
Well, we got started talking about the history of the Radical Fairies.
The Radical Fairies.
And that led to, to where we are today.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, I find it very interesting. Harry Hay got kicked out of a group he started because he was too radical.
Yeah.
And that's gave birth to the Radical Fairies.
Yeah. he was openly gay in the 30s.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable. Yeah. Nobody was openly gay in the 30s. But I believe he came from money. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't have to rely on anybody else or a job that could hold something over his head. So, I mean, he was him.
Yeah.
And he started with Rudy Gernreich. He started the Mattachine Society, which was a suit and tie kind of group.
Hard to imagine him with the suit and tie.
Because he had been a member of the Communist Party back in the 30s, he left that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of, you know, it was bad enough in the 50s with McCarthy, with the gay groups, and you certainly didn't want a communist in there,
right?
And
so he went from suit and tie to Radical Fairies. I mean, it's just...
And it's... Well, the 70s was such a magical time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's... Everything was like, let's explore everything, whether it be drugs or
absolutely
sexual expression or you name it. And it was a very pioneer. I mean, it just shook.
I think it opened up a lot of eyes to a lot of people as to, especially sexual experimentation. That was like unheard of.
Yeah. And I think it was the Radical Fairies that really kind of helped open the door for the gay
and
movement.
I was there.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, it was the sexual revolution was really started by gay people.
Yeah.
And we gave permission to the straight people to experiment because of what we were doing.
Yeah,
and I always thought that was our in with the straight community, because we showed them how to experiment with sex.
Mm-hmm. And it was also, I mean, the other aspect of the Radical Fairies that I found intriguing is the spiritual nature.
Yes,
combining the spiritual and the sexual.
Harry was very big on that.
And in our society, sex equals sin.
Yes,
but in ancient days, sex equaled sacred.
That's right.
A whole different platform.
That's right.
A whole different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what Harry was trying to bring back.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I've experienced many times on the pagan campouts and the Radical Fairy campouts. Is this sexual freedom and this sense of being a sacred sexual being.
And I think Harry, because of the groups he had been in before, he decided this is not going to be a group.
Yeah.
There's no president, there's no head, there's no committee, there's no nothing.
Yeah, it's all disorganized.
Yes. So, trying to organize Radical Fairies, oh my God, it's like trying to herd cats.
Oh, I know, I've done it. In fact, I once got confronted at a gathering.
Really?
For being too organized.
Oh my God. Well, somebody's got to be a little organized or you don't have a gathering.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You can throw organization out the window once you're there to some degree, but you still have to have your kind of schedule
you
of
do.
Something. You know.
I think you have to have a little...
But also schedule free time to do, let the impromptu.
Yes, I mean, it's a combination of people working and the people that bring the energy and the fun. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Yes, it's a mixture.
Yeah. And so part of it is, and I think part of the history, though, goes back to this whole concept of being fae, being fairy, mm-hmm. being, you know, read all the stories about the fae. They're just very...
allow yourself to just go into that, whatever, you know, your female energy, your male energy, whatever energy
mischievous,
you want.
Mischievous, yeah. Childlike, mm-hmm. Adventurous. I remember one night, I forget if it was a radical fairy gathering or a temple gathering, but we decided just very impromptu we'd have sex with nature. So we all climbed up in trees and started masturbating up in the top of trees. It was incredible. And it wasn't a group thing. I mean, we each took our own tree, you know. But we were all shaking the treetops.
Gives me a communing with nature.
It was,
and
it was
a whole new
yes.
side of it.
It was just this... I felt the wind on my body. I felt the texture of the tree. I felt the moon and the breeze and the chill air with the heat between my legs. It was just incredible. I mean, I never felt the heat from my sex drive so intensely as when the wind was blowing on it.
Wow.
It was just a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually you've got it in warm spots anyway. But
I think you have to give yourself permission, though.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you do. That's the thing. And that's what the radical fairies were very good at.
I think the other thing.
Permission to do any of that.
And being accepting.
Well, it's partly
of those
the giving the permission, but also setting up a safe environment for that to occur.
That's true. Yes.
You know, you've got to have both the safety, the environment to do it in. And get the permission.
Mm-hmm.
And when it all comes together like that, that's when the magic occurs.
Yes.
And that's what I think is at the heart of the radical fairies, is that when those things, those moments occur like that, it's just totally unexpected, but takes you to fairyland. And I know that, I don't know, was there ever any... kind of tie-ins between Stonewall and the radical fairies that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Because I know that, you know, they've got radical fairy gatherings all over the country. San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's, I forget the name of the mountain.
Especially San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. And... you know, it just became such a phenomenon in this country for a group to grow like that, that was so radical and disorganized. It's amazing to me how it came about. And being parts of it locally, unfortunately I was never part of the national.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to a fairy event outside of Houston.
No.
I've heard about them, and I've known people that have been to them. But unfortunately, I've just never made it to one. One of these days, I'll have to. I almost got a chance one time when I went to San Francisco. But I was working at the time, and my vacation time ended...
Right before
they started. And, like, if I'd had one more week... it would have been an incredible experience. But I did have some awesome experiences in San Francisco.
Everybody does.
Oh, yes.
It's a magical city.
Oh, it is. But I did want to kind of touch on, you'd said, I was outside when y'all were talking earlier, but you started getting into simulation, and I feel like that's been part of the problem here in Houston, is that in the gay community, we've been so assimilated, we've lost touch with our fairy roots.
Well, yeah.
To some degree. And, you know.
We have a ways to go before assimilation like they have in like Holland.
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to see us get to that point where we can re-embrace the radical and the fae, as because it is so much of the gay history. I think it gave the gay movement a lot of momentum, especially back in the 70s. I don't think the gay movement would have become quite what it was had it not been for the radical fae.
Because it gave permission.
It gave permission. But I think it went even deeper than that. It gave the gay community a little bit of an identity. It gave
That's true.
A sense of identity.
Yes.
And that we're different. We're
we are
out
different.
There.
Yes, we are different. It's not just that we do... that we have sex differently. We are different.
Mm-hmm. And we approach it differently than...
Oh, of course. Because straight people... Straight people's sex is based on procreation.
Mm-hmm.
Gay people's sex is based on recreation.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, it comes from two different places.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
So it's entirely different.
Oh, yes. And, you know, that... I guess that's what I was getting at with the Radical Fairies. They brought a lot of that whole sense of recreational sex to the gay movement early on.
I think it stimulated people's imagination and creativity. Oh, they can do this. We try this. And you saw these different offsprits of different types of sexuality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I take it even further. I got a reverse PA and found vibrating barbells, and it turns my dick into a vibrator.
Oh, my goodness.
A little bit of TGT.
You are always thinking of something new.
Oh, I am. And that, it is so amazing to have a vibrating dick.
I think that's what I love so much about the gay community is because they're so creative. We're all so creative.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like saying, hey, I don't care about the social norms. You know, we struggle with that.
We do.
In our daily lives, just to be ourselves. And as a gay man or as a butch woman, we can walk down the street and somebody... They know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, there goes so-and-so, you know, and which opens us up to types of, you know, in the past, hate crimes.
Yes.
And discrimination, getting evicted from our apartments or place we live to being fired at our jobs.
Yep.
So we've overcome a lot of adversity and a lot of challenges in our lives. So... When we're talking about assimilation, we're talking about that earlier, about how we've gone through some difficult times in our, not in our personal lives, but also within our own community, and the changes that we've seen. We've gone through harder times, but
you see, with assimilation, what I like about being a gay man is that I can create my own relationship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be one other person. I can have other people in it. You know, it can be a myriad of things.
Mm-hmm. And
but,
I think that's...
But when you get to assimilation and gay marriage and all of that, then it kind of forces you into that straight kind of relationship.
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The one-on-one, which...
Yes.
I just don't believe that there's one person out there, one person...
That's
everything for me.
Yes.
Well, you know something? This kind of came to me as y'all were speaking. On the opposite end of assimilation, I remember the first Radical Fairy gathering I went to, and I felt like I'd found home.
Mm.
I felt like I'd found a place where I could just let my hair down and be with other kindred spirits.
Yes.
And that, to me, was such a big jump. You know, and it wasn't in the bars. It wasn't, not to be speak down to the bar scene, but it was something much deeper and much more connective. You know, I'd been to gay bars, and I didn't get that sense of how would I, of tribe, of connection.
Tribe, that's good.
Yes. And that, to me, was what was, I walked away from my first fairy gathering with, was, okay, I'm connected with other kindred spirits. And we did things that we as kindred spirits do, and we can't do that anywhere else.
And I think as with the assimilation, I don't know, for myself, I feel like a guest in my own home. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know what you mean.
But I enjoy that sense of brotherhood, and talking to Gigi and yourself, and the different aspects of our community and the different people in our community. I think that's, I think it's something that is very important to me and valuable for me. But I think it's also for the newer generations, too, to see the diversity.
Yes.
To see that and know that there's a place for them, whatever their interests are. And to also have that permission, not just from themselves, but from the older generation. It's okay to explore, to find your way. But I've also seen a gap in our generations where some of the older generation is closed off to the newer generation. It's like we're telling them, okay, here we are. We're giving you permission to be who you are, but yet we're not opening the door for them. So we're also denying the next generation permission. And I'm not saying that's everywhere. I'm just saying I've seen some of that.
Yeah,
and I don't know what y'all have seen or if that's been an issue for you.
I know in the Radical Fairies, we've had ages from 18 to, I think the oldest fairy we've had out there was 65, 70, somewhere around there. Camping's a bit rough, so.
Yeah.
But the thing I found was that once the event took off, people were opening up and sharing. The young with the old.
Oh, okay. In an environment like that, because you don't have that back home.
Right.
And a lot
and
of it...
there wasn't the pressure to get laid.
No. Well, a lot of it stems from the older generation, especially male, the perception that we're going to take advantage of the younger generation sexually.
Yeah.
Rather than just be the mentors.
And that's why I said, you know, the pressure's off to get laid. You don't have to get laid at a fairy gathering. There are.
I need to step in. It's time for our PSAs.
Oh my goodness.
Goodness. Man.
So we'll step out for PSAs and come back and let Gigi wrap up.
Okay.
Awesome.
All
right.
Celebrate fall with the Discovery Green Thursday Concert Series. Presented by Capital One Bank and co-sponsored by KPFT. The fall season features free concerts at Discovery Green Thursdays in September and October, showcasing outstanding regional performers starting September 8th and running through October 13th. Discovery Green is huge. Houston's number one spot to picnic on the grass, dance on the patio, and watch the sunset over the gorgeous downtown skyline. Bring your family, meet your friends, or disconnect the kids from their video games to show them some real guitar heroes. Series performers include Leroy Thomas and the Zydeco Roadrunners, Gary Clark Jr., Two Hoots and a Holler, Dale Watson, Texas Tornadoes, and NRBQ. Show start at 6:30 and everyone is welcome. Street parking is mostly free starting at 6. Bring your picnics, blankets, and lawn chairs, but leave your glass containers and alcohol at home. Don't worry, food, wine, and beer are also available at the Lake House Restaurant. Visit discoverygreen.com for more information. This is KPFT Houston.
Throughout September, Houston Rescue and Restore Coalition will host its fifth annual Human Trafficking Awareness Month. A variety of events will take place, such as a 5K run, an interfaith service, a film series, a fair trade shopping event, and much more. Many of the events will be free of charge and open to the public. Through these events, HRRC hopes to educate and engage the community on the issue of human trafficking. For more information about Human Trafficking Awareness Month, visit HoustonRR.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Here we are.
Hold on. And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and soon to be 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. It's starting to get harder and harder to do. You can also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/afterhourskpft, where we put up a little video of the week. An interesting German music video is up there. Trust me, wait a little bit. It's going to start a little slow. It may be a little scary for some people. Then it gets very weirdly hot. You know, it's German, so it's you got to give it a moment. And then, some of the highlights we have of what's coming up on Roundtable. Our closing Roundtable topic, just to keep you here till 4 o'clock in the morning, the storyline is the Pope gets blown in Spain. Go ahead, here's Mike. So stick around till 4 o'clock to find out how the Pope got blown.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it's been... we could go so much more.
I know. Tonight has been great.
One thing I'd like to say.
You're a great guest, you know it.
Well, thank you very much. You're a wonderful host.
I think there is a magic to going to an event like the Radical Fairies mm-hmm. Gatherings that occurs. I know I've experienced it at bi conferences, I've experienced it at pride parades. When you can reconnect with kindred spirits, I know my battery always gets recharged. When the world out there, the mundane world, starts weighing down, it's like,
I have felt like that at Louis.
Yeah.
Or other leather Levi.
Mm-hmm. And so...
But, or at the PWA campout.
Yeah.
It's that magic. And I don't know why. I mean, with the PWA campout, I can kind of understand that because we're all the same.
Yeah.
And we live with a certain amount of discrimination. And that's at the campout, we don't have that.
Yeah.
But I feel the same way at a leather organization, at a leather
gathering,
yes, because it's just something special.
And that's what these Radical Fairy gatherings are. It's a time for us to recharge our batteries, connect with one another.
I know, and I'm thinking, if I go to something like that, is it going to be like 10 times better?
Oh, yes. Or at least I know for me it has been. It's like I take a weekend and just explore all the things that I don't get to explore anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to fill myself with people and with experiences and with laughter and joy and even the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I touch nature and touch kindred spirits.
Exactly.
And they touch me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's there's something we transfer when we get together and form these kind of bonds and experience these kind of things together that gives me such a recharge to be able to face the world again and to come back home and I feel renewed. And, you know, Jay's seen me. After I go to some of these events, I'm kind of walking 2 feet off the ground for weeks afterwards. It's like, wow.
Yes.
So, you want more information about the Radical Fairies...
Yes, there's a Yahoo group.
Yes, and I always forget the name of it. It's Houston Fairy Circle, I think, at Yahoo. Or we might have to look that up.
I don't know.
Email me, buyhouse@comcast.net.
That's it.
If you want to get into the Radical Fairies, send me an email. It's bihouse@comcast.net.
Ah. Oh, that's great. Easy.
Because I'm bi and I live in a bi house.
Ta-da. You do.
You
do. Thank you for being here.
Well, I enjoyed it very much. Yeah, it was really good to hear the history and your experiences, and I really enjoyed
it. We want you back soon.
Well, look forward to coming back.
I need to do more research on the early beginnings of the fairies, because there's a lot I don't know.
Well, there's a lot. I don't know even on my own history, but the thing is, we've had a breakdown in communications, I think, between the generations. And
oh, yes, we have.
And of course, you
and
know,
I think we've lost a lot.
I think we have to. And it's, you know, we have, you know, HIV AIDS, but we've also had people, even like myself, sometimes that it is private, and we forget about making those connections.
That's right.
We do get caught up with the mundane. So, you know, I just love hearing about the diversity in the rich history of the people that I care about, and preserving that, and so that we don't, like I said, we can pass that on to the newer generations, and so they don't deal with some of the same hardships, and so we can avoid some of the same mistakes we've made in the past, and keep things moving forward in a positive direction, a healthy direction for ourselves and for our community, and the people that we do care about. So, I really appreciate y'all talking about that.
Yeah,
thank you. Okay, take it away.
The higher you build your barrier, the taller I become. The farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Oh no,
oh no.
There's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong. Oh,
the more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more the more I want
everything.
Deny my place in time. You squander wealth that's mine.
My light will shine
so brightly it will blind you.
Blind you. 'Cause there's something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no. There's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Oh, no. Something inside so strong. Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough.
Not good enough.
Do it anyway.
We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do it anyway.
We're gonna do it anyway. 'Cause there's something inside so strong. Oh, I know.
that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone. Something so strong, it's so strong.
Push the button, Mary.
It's already pushed. Shut up. Are we ready for them yet?
Yeah, we played a lot of slow songs tonight.
Well, that one was that last one was a request from Gigi.
I know, but there's it's just sometimes we get into those. We never put the song in here. That was a flirtation, something inside so strong.
And you know, we've been playing that song since the show, almost since the show started. It's that old.
Yeah, push the mics on for those people.
I know there was something there to say, but it was too late to say it.
It's a CD, so it's not that old. 1990.
Show started in 87.
It's a Canadian CD.
Eh?
Eh.
Quiet, Jose, or I'm going to cut your mic.
Again.
I can smell the loonies from here. Oh, yeah. Loony on line one.
Hey.
Line one, drop. There we go.
Oh, look at that.
Line one, drop.
I can do this all night, too, Skippy.
There he is again.
Line one, drop. Line one, drop.
Well, they got a quick redial.
Line one, drop.
There you go. That's a wonderful button, isn't it?
The whole board lights up.
It's like Christmas.
Harder, Santa. Never mind.
There goes your mic again.
All right, it is time now again for the once again infamous round table.
And we do mean infamous.
Oh, you do have his mic killed.
Yeah, I warned him.
He is a type of popularity.
Did I not warn him?
Infamy is popularity.
Okay, so that's the one we're saving for the end here. Yeah, it was interesting. I got a couple of college stories, some high school stories, some politician stories.
Are you reading from Nifty or the Round Table?
Yes. Actually, yeah, Nifty's in a different category on my bookmarks.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Nifty's under the triple X links. The rest of these are under the round table links.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yes, I actually do separate out my...
Hell, Nifty's under my most frequently watched.
Well, you know, the good thing with some of the other ones is you can, you know, since I use Mozilla, you just go down to the end of it, it says open all in different tabs. It's like... start off with some bad news here. From Iowa, a 19-year-old college student was beaten to death in Michelle Bachman's hometown of Waterloo, Iowa, this past weekend. Ugh. Witnesses say Marcellus Richard Andrews' attacker shouted anti-gay slurs while kicking him in the head.
Nice. Oh, my God.
Officers and paramedics say they found Andrews unconscious with severe head injuries in the early hours of Friday. Andrews, who was slated to start studying interior design at Hawkeye Community College, spent part of Thursday practicing with members of the Crusaders, a drill team sponsored by the Union Missionary Baptist Church. He led the step team for the group, which was days away from competing in March Against Darkness night. There he was found at Nikita Wright's home on Cottage Street. They said the problem started about 12:45 when she and Tudia Simpson, her cousin, went for a walk down the street. Andrews opted to stay behind, waiting on an enclosed porch. The two women hadn't made it as far as Adams Street a block away when they heard yelling back at the house. They ran back and found a truck stopped in the street. The occupants were taunting Andrews, calling him faggot and Mercedes, a feminization of his first name. The police have made no arrests, despite the fact the attackers knew Andrews' name.
Well, let's hope the attackers meet their Waterloo.
Hello.
Let's see here. We're going to try. I just got to find my ones I have here. Are some follow-up to story we had last week from the... where are you at? The Indiana State GOP representative who picked up a guy off of Craigslist.
Oh, yes.
Representative Philip Hinkle now claims that all he did was talk about baseball with the 18-year-old male hooker he hired for a good time via Craigslist.
Talking, pitching, and catching, huh?
And he totally never got naked and made a grab for the kid's ass.
Oh, of course not.
You know, no. I just got to say this real quick. What a name.
Hinkle?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, we've got better names coming up.
No, it should have been wrinkles, really.
These people, Hinkle said, are lying through their teeth. Hinkle said that when Gibson got there, they just talked about baseball and The View.
Yeah.
Now, since The View is in all lowercase, I'm assuming it was The View from the hotel room.
Yeah, we're just going to go to a hotel room and talk about baseball and The View.
Right. Did you see what Whoopi Goldberg said in last week's show?
And what didn't he do anything? What is he, a pussy? I mean, come on.
And when Hinkle came out of the bathroom, Gibson had left and stole the money, the iPad, and the BlackBerry. I went to the edge, Hinkle said, but I didn't fall over the edge. I got everything back but the iPad, Hinkle told the Star. And quite frankly, if that makes them feel good, so be it. He noted he wouldn't be filing a police report. When asked why he arranged the encounter to begin with and why he used his public email address, Hinkle said, I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know. Hinkle told Matthew Tully of the Star. Somewhere upstairs, a button got pushed, and I don't know why. Representative Hinkle, if you would have stuck around, you would have found the button to be pushed was lower.
Much lower.
Yeah, it's called a prostate.
I thought you were talking about the button on
Magic fingers?
The magic fingers.
Yeah, if you're paying that much, the magic fingers should come included.
Yeah, really?
Somewhere upstairs, a button got pushed, and I want to know why. People keep asking, what were you thinking? I honestly don't know. It's as simple as that. I say that emphatically. Hinkle also said, I'm not gay.
Uh-huh.
His mouth says gay, but his ass says homo.
Representative Hinkle, you're not gay. The correct term is men who have sex with men. It's not implying that you're gay. It doesn't matter if you are giving or receiving any sort of act. The only part I really hate about this story is the fact they keep saying, you know, Representative Hinkle tried to hook up with an 18-year-old. Remember, the original story was the kid who posted the ad said he was 20.
True.
So I'm not going to fault Representative Hinkle for trying to hook up with a 20-year-old on Craigslist. I'm not going to beat him over the head for hitting up with an 18-year-old. That was false advertising. Representative Hinkle needs to file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission that he was expecting a masturbate and got a bait and switch.
Nice. Yeah.
Back to the Joe My God commentary. Totally not gay. That must be why his wife offered $10,000 in hush money to the hooker's sister, who spilled the beans to the press. Of course, all this story
is... $10,000?
Well, to talk about baseball, I mean...
And The View. Don't forget The View.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The View of his ass, maybe.
Actually, you know, I think about it. You know, it was very simply was a talk about baseball. He wanted to get to third base, and the guy was holding up on second.
Hell, I didn't think they got past first.
Dun, 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 dun. Buy me some peanuts and crack in my jacket. I don't care if I never go. Speaking of Republicans.
There's bubble gum under here. That's gross.
That was random.
Bubble gum. Baseball cards.
Here is a Republican actually showing how much of an ass he is.
Oh.
Or.
Well, that never happens.
Or was.
Or was. Oh.
Puerto Rico Senator Roberto Arango, who chaired the local 2004 campaign to re-elect W, has been found showing his anus on the gay hookup site Grindr.
And it's NSFW.
Arango semi-acknowledges that the pics are of him, but says he was merely taking photos to show off his recent weight loss.
Really? He lost weight and his anus.
That is a place you can lose weight.
Okay. Senator Arango, immediately fire the PR firm that you hired from Representative Wiener.
Yeah, really?
Because this is... Yeah.
This story is full of holes.
Yeah, this Wienergate all over again.
I was going to go with the story is kind of asinine.
Well, that too.
But now it's a 10 because he lost weight.
Oh. Oh, my. That was bad.
Some images.
That
in
was
the,
a stretch.
Yeah, here we go. In some of the images in the below clip, while blurred, may be not safe for work. Prior to this scandal, Arango was mostly known for the ridicule he endured after publishing a grammatically disastrous letter demanding statehood for Puerto Rico because, among other reasons, so many fast food restaurants have outlets there.
So,
we should make China and Japan and all of Europe a state of the United States because they have fast food chains over there, too.
But they're not U.S. territories.
Update number one. A source tells us about Arango's anti-gay legislative history. In 2009, he voted in favor of Resolution 99, which have amended Puerto Rico's constitution to ban the recognition of same-sex marriages. It did not pass. He is opposed to civil unions, and in 2004, he used a rubber duck to make it quack, to make fun of an opponent. In Puerto Rico, the word for duck, pato, means faggot. According to this one clip, there are Spanish-speaking viewers of GMG.
Do you know what a faggot is?
It's a bundle of sticks.
No.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
A faggot is the homosexual gentleman who just left the room.
Thank you, Bruce, for launch. The clip they have here on Joe, my God, some of the Spanish-speaking readers tip to the following clip seems somewhat homophobic in his intent. They'll replace it if another clip appears.
So is that like we shouldn't make Puerto Rico a steak?
A steak?
Ricky
That's
Martin.
That's kind of a raw joke.
Yeah, Ricky Martin has been asked for comment and has declined at this time. let's see. Let's go to the high school stories. Come on, unicorn booty. A gay senior at Coffee High School in Georgia is facing criminal charges after he wore a skirt to Nerd Day during Spirit Week at school. The student, 17-year-old Eric Bivens, was arrested after Principal Greg Tanner called police on him for disrupting school. And we're not talking about the fashion police here.
Well,
he was all like, come with me, sir. And I'm like, what did I do? What did I do wrong? I'm in dress code. I checked. And he said, oh, we all need to make sure that you can wear this because it is Nerd Day, not cross-dressing day, said Bivens. Last Thursday, we had a spirit day where students were dressed up as a nerd or geeks for an upcoming football game, says Dr. Greg Tanner, Coffee High School principal. Bivens changed his clothes but went to the principal for an explanation. He was like, girls get to dress like guys because it's acceptable in society, but it's not acceptable for me to dress as a girl, said Bivens. Tanner told reporters that Bivens has a long history of disciplinary infractions at school, including sexual harassment complaint, and the skirt incident was the last straw.
Was it really the last straw?
My thing that I just suddenly realized reading this is, isn't a student's disciplinary record considered private?
Yeah.
Should be.
Unless he has a public record.
Maybe not in Georgia.
According to,
well, generally, minors' records are kept private. It doesn't matter.
Those are police records.
Now, another part they have on here is the fact, I'm not sure where they're quoting this from, because when Unicorn Booty does it, their thing that they copy from somebody else, leave that alone. It's meant to do that. Whenever
there goes another 4 weeks
on Unicorn Booty, whenever they excerpt from another source, it has a white background to it. So I'm not sure if this is excerpted. I guess this is from a Dan Savage coverage of the story. Yes, the kid who wore a skirt to school has other run-ins with the administration. He could be a discipline problem. Guess what? I was a discipline problem in high school, believe it or not.
No.
Really?
He's been written up 24 times, according to the reporter, once for sexual harassment.
24 times.
He's also an openly gay kid. Gotta love that Queen Elizabeth Percy's working. And it could be attracting a great deal of negative attention from administrators and his peers. I personally know of one gay kid, a freshman at the time, who was accused of sexually harassing a senior who didn't think the gay student should be allowed to look at him.
Harassment.
Look at him.
Nothing to me. Anyway.
Yeah, just look at him.
LGBT students are several times more likely to be disciplined in schools, even though they are several times likely to actually cause disciplinary problems than their straight peers. The troubling statistic, coupled with LGBT students' heightened threat of violence and bullying from their peers, may put Bliven's track record in perspective. Real talk. He's a gay 17-year-old attending a high school that literally thinks it's a crime to wear a skirt to school. It's not. We can only imagine the headbutting we would run into if we were in his shoes. Mm. Now, this story, part of this came from an actual television station in Georgia, WALB.
If a lawyer who's been on many a TV show can wear a skirt into a courtroom,
yes,
and he's a boy, then...
I don't understand how it got from the school disciplinary area to the police.
Especially if he agreed to change it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of power-hungry people working at schools. Mm-hmm. That
I do. Yeah, I think with the fact that it was a doctor who was as their principal, that kind of shows that he's got a...
Yeah, he's got a
quit staring at the teacher.
That's sexual harassment.
Oh. I told you, harassment is
sexy, though.
This is our next story from high school. Sean Loftus, substitute teacher, gets canned by Miami-Dade Public Schools for being a gay porn star.
Oops.
Whoops.
But CNN doesn't have a problem with him. CNN doesn't have a problem with Sean Loftus' big gay porn career. Should Miami-Dade County Public Schools? Using the nom de plume Colin O'Neill, he's won awards for his virtuoso performances in hardcore films such as Mo Bubble Bunt, Humping Iron, and Desperate House Husbands. By the way, I'm actually reading from a newspaper.
Movie.
In 2005, Miami Beach resident Loftus started Colin O'Neill Productions. His film series, World of Men, was based on a unique concept. He would travel to exotic but not necessarily sexy locales such as Lebanon and Serbia. Between scenes of Loftus comforting with local hunks, he would give viewers tours of famous monuments and settings, complete with historic context. Yeah, just what I want with my porn, a history and travel session.
I do. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, and while we're at it, let's see him get bent over that monument.
Yeah.
That I'm down
a new
for that.
a new and strategic use for the Washington Monument.
Yeah. Nothing says
I was thinking about Lincoln's
Serbia.
Lap.
Yeah, there's that, too. Okay.
Now, I'll admit, I have a slight kind of geek crush on Rick Steves, but if he's going to do the porn, then maybe. But if Bert Wolf does start doing porn and travel logs, hell no.
Yeah, I don't want to see Bert Wolf's
that
log.
I don't
sorry.
Need to see.
Yes, Loftus, who studied international relations with a focus on the Middle East at Florida International University, has earned a master's in public administration from the University of Miami. And it's never just been about porn. He's achieved some national notoriety, in fact, for his dedicated citizen reporting on CNN's website.
Mm.
The news giant has featured his videos and say they are well aware of his day job, and they don't mind at all. But in spring 2010, Loftus decided to dump porn and pursue his real passion, teaching. That March, he sold World of Men to a Canadian company. In April, he began substitute teaching in local public schools. He worked at Miami Beach High, where they just loved me to death, he said. Nautilus Middle, Edison Middle, Feinberg Fisher, K-8. This past January, Loftus was informed he had been suspended. Another employee told Nautilus principal Alan Bernstein, she wrote, that Loftus had his own personal gay website. When administrators Googled his industry name, they found sexually explicit pictures of, if our own search is any indication, the math sub engaging in nude acrobatics with buff furry men.
Mm. So he was
sounds like fun.
Addition, subtraction, and
but no multiplication. Remember, it's gay porn, not straight.
Oh, it's so division.
There was a little bit of division, though.
Yeah, yes. There was some division, but no multiplication.
Oh, he was showing how they divide and conquer.
I love this next part. The school district cited Rule 6GX13-4A-1.21.
Sounds like a Star Trek log.
Doesn't it?
Which demands, might have suggestively, that school faculty, quote,
far away from a star date. Anyhow.
Conduct themselves in both both their employment and in their community in a manner which reflects upon themselves and the school system. In April, despite his protest that his smut was in his past, the Florida Department of Education revoked his teaching certification. He points out that his porn career was perfectly legal. He suspects that if he would have been treated differently if he appeared in straight films. She exposed herself as a big homophobe, Loftus says of Bernstein, who didn't respond to requests for comments for this story. Loftus went to the ACLU with his complaint, but a representative there failed to find a sympathetic lawyer. Almost everyone has things in their past that could be embarrassing or that should bar them from making a living, the volunteer, who gave only his name only as Carlos, pontificated before concluding, your case would be stronger if your job did not involve supervising children.
Right.
Okay. So our hero has returned to the world he once left. Last week he was in Cuba, filming a sex scene involving twin brothers. He bragged about it on Twitter. They actually like touching and having sex with each other. Smiley face emoticon.
Wow.
Wow.
And this was a story that was actually in the Miami New Times, which I'm assuming is probably going to be the equivalent to the Houston Press.
Yeah. Actually, it's a small local paper. Because they have the two major papers. The major paper down there is the Miami Herald.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's one of the alternative ones. Is it like, no, okay. not even like the Houston
Press? It's not even an alternative paper.
Let's see. Before we move on to college here, I want to, you know, we've talked a lot on a show about gay marriage.
Yes.
And we said about how it's going to end up playing in Texas to finally become. Have the law changed?
Are we going to talk about Governor Goodhair again?
No. Okay.
Please, for the love of God.
I'm hoping they start accepting that as a new nickname for him, because when they mention, I'll throw it out now that you mentioned it. You know, you talk about he's just recently signed the NOM pledge, the National Organization for Marriage, Anti-Gay Marriage pledge. And so Joe My God said, okay, well, Governor Perry now joins Frothy Mix, Crazy Eyes, and Magic Underpants.
Could he read it with his 2.0 GPA?
So all I had to do was sign in the blank. So for those of you who don't know, Frothy Mix is Santorum, Crazy Eyes is Michelle Bachman, and Magic Underpants is Mitt Romney. So I'm hoping, I got to send a thing to Joe My God saying that, you know, we like calling him Governor Goodhair. So one of the things we've talked about with how marriage is going to be is it's going to take something bad to get the laws changed. So one of the reports are saying is the Indiana State Fair stage disaster.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Could end up being one of these. The horrifying stage collapse at the Indiana State Fair that killed 4 people and injured 45 others may have a grim silver lining. Lesbian spouse Tammy Van Dam died in the collapse, and now her wife, Beth Urschel, is among those suing the state. But collecting her part of a $50 million settlement will also challenge the state's marriage inequality laws and force the courts to reckon with its treatment of same-sex spouses. While Indiana has no constitutional ban on marriage equality, its statutes only recognize marriages between a man and a woman and deny recognition of any of other legal arrangements that are substantially similar to that of marriage. Yes, but for how long?
Hmm.
Now, this argument was raised at the very beginning was the fact that her spouse could not collect the body.
Yeah.
Yes.
That they had to have an aunt come down and collect the body and take it back to Illinois.
She didn't have a power of attorney?
Apparently not. Or for some reason, they didn't want to recognize that piece of paper.
Hmm.
So that she was not able to, you know, like I said, the fact that when it came time to collect the body to return her to Illinois, that they had an aunt have to come and claim.
Inequality, alive and well.
Yeah, in the 21st century.
In the 21st century.
Well, you know, that happened to all the gay and lesbian survivors of 9/11.
Yes, I remember that.
When their spouses were killed.
Yeah.
They couldn't collect any of that money.
So, let's go on to some happier, weirder things. All right, you had a comment?
I love this.
And if they, you know, passed that marriage law way back then, they would have. They mm-hmm. probably would have been getting those benefits now.
Elmhurst College has put a question on its admissions application that won't appear on any other school's application. Quote, would you consider yourself to be a member of the LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community? Unquote. That optional question makes Elmhurst the first school in the country to ask applicants about their sexual orientation or gender identity, the Chicago Sun-Times reports.
It's optional.
Yeah, it's optional. Gary Rold, the dean of students at Elmhurst, stressed the question falls in line with the campus's mission statement to increase diversity. We're offering an incentive to students who are looking for a home that may not find that in other places. We consider that a good thing. It's very consistent with our mission. Prospective freshmen and transfer students applying for the 2012 fall semester will become the first group of applicants to check yes, no, or prefer not to answer. Their answers will not play a role in the admissions process. A yes answer could put students in line to qualify for scholarships worth one-third of their tuition at the private liberal arts school affiliated with the United Church of Christ.
Oh. So I can't put my sexual preferences often?
We're not talking about your hand.
So,
we try really hard to take good care of our students, have them graduate and be successful citizens in the world. Modesto Tico Valle, CEO of the Center on Halsted in Chicago, called the move another step in the right direction. As our society continues to become more open and welcoming to LGBT people, it makes sense that institutions are giving individuals more opportunities to express their diversity. We trust Elmhurst is working to foster a culture where LGBT students feel welcome and safe not only in the application process, but throughout their entire college career. Not everybody feels that way.
Of course.
Everyone, put on your shocked face. In defending their decision to include...
You don't see it on me already?
In defending their decision to include a question about sexual orientation by asserting an offensive and absurd comparison of race to a condition constituted by subjective desire and volition sexual acts, Elmhurst County College administrators reveal their own ignorance. That was one sentence, said David E. Smith, executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, in a statement.
Oh, well, these people don't really know what proper English is.
Well, he's an idiot.
He's good with the $10 words.
Yeah, really, that's about it, though.
What the hell is...
Don't amount to much, though.
Volanish.
I don't know, look it up.
Search, you know, Google.
What are we looking at?
I'm going to the Google.
Oh?
The Google.
Just don't Google Santorum.
Volitional?
Volition. That's what it is.
Volition. Okay.
A volition. The will or cognitive process which an individual decides on or commits a particular course of action. Idiot.
He's still an idiot.
Yeah, really.
Go ahead.
You, sir, are an idiot.
Learn science. Come on. Really.
He failed at spelling, at grammar, obviously.
Apparently. Hey, next college story. Facebook photo.
Oh, I love this one.
All I can hear is... Lindsberg, Kansas's tiny Bethany College, a Lutheran school, home of the Fighting Swedes, has suspended its entire golf team for three tournaments as punishment for taking the above naked photo together.
They weren't showing us their golf balls, huh?
No.
You won't see any dong in the shot because it's there under their golfing gear.
Oh, there's no putting irons?
No, but they've got a 5-wood covering their 6-wood. Golf coach John Daniel said all 15 members of the men's team were involved in taking a picture on a hilltop with nothing on.
You can see clearly the pants were down around their calves.
Daniel said they talked to the boys about upholding the reputation of the Lutheran school and the golf team.
They were upholding something else.
He suspended the team from playing in three tournaments. See, guys, if you were at a Catholic school, they would have just said, why didn't you invite us to take the picture? And now for the best line you'll hear in this story.
Oh, God, here we go.
Team captain Jack Hiscock.
Jose.
Jose, it's time for your line.
Jose, it's time for your line.
You can't breathe yet. Sorry. You got to give him time to breathe.
He's busy trying to find his breath at the moment.
Yes, his name is Jack His cock.
Maybe later.
It's time for your line, Jose.
Come on, we're expecting you to say it, Jose.
Come on. You've let us all down. Never mind. Hold on.
It's late. I've had too much caffeine.
Yeah, it gets a little funny here when you find out what station he told the story. So, Team Captain Jack Hiscock told Cake News, K-A-K-E, that it was just a bit of fun that got Jack blown out of proportion.
Oh, he did not say that.
What? Say that again.
Actually, I saw that video on hazehim.com. The team has appealed a suspension to the college president, and the people over at deadspin.com seem to agree with us. We have not stopped giggling.
Well, was this a hoax?
No.
It's true, because it was on Yahoo.
Yeah, this. I downloaded it, actually.
It was on Yahoo. I saw the actual news, the news broadcast.
Oh, my God.
I have to ask that man's parents. What were they thinking?
Hold the phones, ladies and gentlemen. It gets better.
Oh, wait, there's more?
I just saw the author of this story.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
This was written by Jack Dickey.
Wow.
This just writes itself.
There it is.
It's just right.
It's about time.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we just did a story that Jack Dickey wrote about Jack Hiscock, about some guys putting around on the green
with nothing on.
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Man, they really hit that one into the rough.
That story was subpar. And our final college story.
Trying to get out of the sand trap that one.
What? The rough.
We got a birdie on that one.
They weren't shaved down there.
No!
We got a birdie on that one.
Yeah, well, I've got a bogey here. Never mind.
This was originally my final story of the night.
However.
But it got beat by The Pope Gets Blown.
Okay.
Jimmy, you were in Spain?
Queerty commentary.
Oh, God.
The headline under Queerty is, if you're going to scissor in a college library, don't bribe the cops not to tell. When Columbus State University police officer allegedly caught 18-year-old Jessica Aline Bass having sex with 22-year-old Nikita Holt in a library study room.
Okay, I have to say this real quick.
Bass Holt?
The picture of Miss Bass looks like she's like, really?
She looks like a bass.
You're doing this to me?
No, she looks like a bass. Her mouth is wide open. The eyes are wide.
And then, of course, Miss Holt, she's like, whatever.
Bass reportedly offered the cop $100 not to report them.
Oh, hell, she's got a receding hairline, too.
Got a felony bribery ticket tacked onto what would have been a simple misdemeanor for public indecency. So the next time you want to bribe a cop, remember to say, come on, officer, isn't there any way we can work this out? And let them bring up the bribe. If you do, then you can threaten to report them with corruption or maybe even walk scot-free, or everyone will at least end in a mistrial. Actually, if the cop was straight, you just ask him if he wants to watch a little longer, and
I see.
He'll usually stop and think, you know, won't remember anything past that. Let's see here. Cindy Lauper news.
Fisher's gone wrong.
Cindy Lauper news. Now, this is QWERTY commentary, but it's a pretty good QWERTY commentary.
Did another bird crap in her mouth?
No.
Nope. Just listen.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Yes.
If Cindy Lauper had provided us with an amazing back catalog of pop hits, it would have been enough for us. If Cindy Lauper had only given the world her unique fashion sense and hairstyles, it would have been enough for us. If Cindy Lauper simply recorded new music and toured internationally, it would have been enough for us. If she just continued to speak out on behalf of the LGBT community and donate her time, money, and resources to the True Colors campaign, it would have been enough for us. But it's never enough, ultimately, for ultimate ally Lauper, who is cutting the ribbon on a new shelter for homeless LGBTs aged 18 to 24 at West 154th Street in Harlem.
Wow.
Wow.
The True Colors Good Residence, a collaboration between the West End Intergenerational Residence, Lauper, and her manager, Lisa Barbaras, is reportedly the first permanent housing facility of its kind in New York State. It will open on September 1st. New York City is a home to thousands of homeless queer youths, many who have been kicked out of their homes or are fleeing abuse. But the financial crisis has seen funding for LGBT youth services and housing at places like the Allen Forney Center drastically slashed. Lauper's always been a hard worker, and she expects residents at True Colors Residence to pool their share as well. We're building from the ground up, so our residents will have a brand new modern building with studio apartments for each resident and both indoor and outdoor community space to socialize and attend education and recreation programs.
Wow.
Each resident will be responsible for paying affordable rent based on their income and will receive ongoing assistance in obtaining employment best suited for their individual interests and skills. Although TCR will not require participation in its programs, a variety of social and educational support services will be available to those who request it. Our primary goal is to provide a physically and emotionally safe and supportive environment that will empower our young residents to be the self-loving, happy, and successful individuals that they were meant to be.
That's amazing.
Back to the QWERTY commentary. Oh, my God. Can you imagine Cindy frickin' Lauper stopping by your apartment for movie night? We would just die. So that was back to the QWERTY commentary. But yeah.
I say congratulations. I say
go.
I mean, she's done a lot of stuff with her True Colors tour. She's started not as well known as the It Gets Better project, but she has started We Give a Damn series of.
I've seen commercials for that.
Quit looking at the Pope getting blown.
I just can't get over it.
You know, a lot of
yes,
yeah. They caught picture in fellatio with the Pope in film.
They showed him getting blown.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we'll show you here in a second. That comes up at the end, though.
I have to say, you know, there's an awful lot of famous people who support an awful lot of causes and stuff, but every once in a while, you have those famous people who really step up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. Like Elizabeth Taylor.
There's someone out there to get the door for. Okay. Bisexual bugs and penis bones. What nature teaches us about getting it on.
Zebra can't end well.
Zebra finches, bonobo chimps, and lots of other.
Never ended well.
A lot of other animals get gay with each other. But a recent article from a University of California biology professor reveals an entire insect world crawling with bisexual beetles, dandy dragonflies, and fruit flies that become much fruitier when drunk. Come into our parlor and learn more. Marlene Zook recently shared some of her findings from her upcoming book, Sex on Six Legs, Lessons on Life, Love, and Language from the Insect World, and found that many beetles, locusts, wasps, and many beetles, locusts, and wasps that exhibit gay behaviors. Blue-tailed damselfly males will have sex with each other when women aren't around. Both chrysanthemum longhorn beetles and African bat bugs only find their mate's gender after mounting them, which results in a lot of wasted time. Male flower beetles will sometimes leave enough sperm on one another that they inadvertently impregnate females with the other beetle's sperm. Beetle bukkake?
Sounds like something you'd see on Mari Povich.
Sounds kind of kinky to me.
I would watch the Japanese video on it, but everything would be blurred.
Exactly.
We've gone far ahead, and yet my brain is somehow still stuck on, exactly how do you get a fruit fly drunk?
And sometimes male,
you buy her a few drinks.
Slightly
listen to this.
Overheated fruit.
And sometimes male English tiny flies will mount other males like they're just going to frug around, just to keep their male competitors from mating with nearby ladies. This move definitely works in bars.
Really?
Cutthroat world, the world of insects.
But yes, among most interesting tales of gay buggery are the small Hawaiian spiders that give a new meaning to hooking up. The males and females of a small spider that biologist Rosemary Gillespie studied in Hawaii do not exhibit elaborate courtship behavior before mating. Instead, they simply leap at each other, fangs outstretched. If such an abrupt amorous is unacceptable to both parties, the fangs become locked together.
Sounds like Big Brother on CBS.
And the female curls her abdomen around so the male can insert his sperm-bearing organ into her reproductive opening.
That's hot.
A captive,
I thought you said you were going to keep off the nifty website.
A captive male, pair of males that Gillespie had collected a few weeks earlier exhibited much the same behavior in their container, remaining coupled for 17 minutes. Similar same-sex pairings, usually between males, have been seen in captive with wild beetles, locusts, wasps, and the kind of fly that lives near streams and lay eggs in water lilies.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant? Never mind. Anyway.
Can you imagine it lasting 17 minutes?
While the genetic scientists have long enjoyed toying with the brains of fruit fly Drosophila to create same-sex courtship chains of genital licking, Japanese scientists also found that male fruit flies exposed to ethanol, the type of alcohol in beer and liquor, exhibit same-sex courtship and even do it more repeatedly when exposed to alcohol.
Oh, so it is when you get them drunk.
Yeah. Finally,
so all you need is a six-pack.
Yep.
And finally, Bill Browning from the Bilirico Project wondered why human males lack the penis bones found in monkeys, raccoons, and bats. To answer his questions, he found a Discovery article that said when God took Adam's rib to create Eve in the Bible book, he actually took Adam's penis bone. Wait, this is from a science website?
You know, to replace the FCC word I can't say with a sci-fi term. Apparently, that whole study is when bugs frack.
When you get to be my age, you wish you had a penis bone.
So I can imagine 17 minutes. I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon.
The idea just kind of bugs you.
It's yeah. It's only 17 minutes because you know one of you got thirsty and had to wake up the other.
So we got insects, mammals, it's and people now. So I guess it is natural.
That's just tacky to fall asleep while you're doing that.
Wake me when you're done, please.
I bet many a woman has said that to her husband over the decades.
This one here is a little bit more of a serious one before we get into the final story on here. It's an article from Queerty. The American Foundation for AIDS Research recently published a study entitled, How Can We Improve HIV and STD Prevention Online for Men Who Have Sex with Men? They surveyed the owners of popular dating and hookup websites, the website's users, and HIV and STD program directors to create a list of things sites could do to help reduce HIV and STIs among their members. They're all good ideas, but who's going to float the bill? Here's some of the key suggestions. Include safe sex as a profile option and allowing users to search for partners by such characterizations. Provide directories of STD testing locations. Send automatic reminders to get an HIV or STD test at regular intervals chosen by users. Having chat rooms and other areas for HIV-positive men looking for other HIV-positive men. Providing e-cards to notify partners of a potential exposure to STDs. Doesn't Hallmark have a...
the morning after card?
The morning after card.
I'm itching to see you again because I'm scratching from the last time.
Some of those dating sites already do some of that.
Oh. Yes.
Ooh.
I miss you so much I'm weeping and it's not just from my eyes.
Oh,
didn't tell me it was going to burn 3 days later.
I'm just coming up with this right now. That's the scary part.
Love hurts.
Wait till the end of the show to come up.
My heart's not the only thing burning for you.
That was a good one.
When are we gonna re-meet again?
Oh, God. Is it supposed to drip like
baby,
that?
We didn't see nothing yet.
Oh. I fall to pieces. It shouldn't come off. Hey, I played alphabet soup at the doctor's office.
Guess what letters I found? Chris, you shouldn't act so... Chris, you're acting rather rash over there. Aren't you?
Okay,
what's wrong with this article?
Posting videos that show men discussing safe sex, HIV status, and related issues, and providing access to sexual health experts. I'm sorry if we went so far off.
Now there
tangent,
are
what tangent? I didn't see any tangent.
There are some sites they're very open about the fact of of talking about safe sex on that. Where I know there's a couple of them that when you click on what you're looking for, it's either chat or relationship or sex. They actually have the icon for sex with a condom on it, and as soon as you click on when you click on that right next to this thing, AIDS is not dead. You always use a condom. There are some that kind of pushes that agenda in there, and there are some websites that do put on things about what your status is, have a spot for you to put on there that you are, pause looking for pause, you're pause looking for neg looking for neg, all the different options you can select on there, but that's all market driven on what you'd have on that. So. Yeah. I think we'll come back and discuss that a little later.
Okay.
On that, because we have to talk about the Pope getting blown.
Yes, please.
Pope Palpatine, Pope Benedict XVI, remembered the Sabbath and kept it holy yesterday by giving a rousing homophobic speech to a crowd of 1 million in Madrid about the societal perils of gay marriage, or as we like to call it on Unicorn Booty, marriage. Mm-hmm. But the Lord was having none of it. In a gesture that could only surely have intended to say, STFU, God whipped up a surprise windstorm that knocked the hat right off the Pope's smarmy head.
Did it blow up his skirt?
Yes. The tumultuous weather shook the stage and knocked over a tent, literally forcing the Pope to abandon his bigoted speech halfway through to seek shelter.
Good.
God's talking to you.
Though he was unable to complete his homily, Vatican officials said on Sunday that the content of his entire speech the previous evening was still valid and could be published.
Homophobic homily, huh?
In the address he attempted to give at an airbase in Cuatro Vientos, Spanish for four winds, the Pope struck at the heart of social reforms in countries like Spain. Quote, the Lord calls many people to marriage in which a man and a woman in becoming one flesh find a fulfillment in a profound life of communion, he told the young pilgrims.
With two
backs. Back to the Unicorn Booty commentary. Sure. If Catholics feel confident enough in their interpretation of God's wrath to suggest that even an event like Hurricane Katrina was God's response to New Orleans Gay Southern Decadence Festival, we think our synopsis here is fair game. Thoughts?
Oh, my God. Well, we're at the end of another one.
And I have to tease about this. They talked about Katrina there. I was supposed to have an event a week after Katrina,
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans. And afterwards, everyone was saying, we need to move this event north and to the west to get away from the hurricanes. This year, it's being held in Boston.
Well, that's really north and west.
That just blows.
No, that's north and east.
It's north, but you know what? I think it's kind of hilarious that I'm sitting here in the hurricane zone the week of this event, and we ain't getting no rain. And
I know.
Boston, where they are hosting this thing, is getting slammed by Irene.
Good night, Irene, huh?
We've come to the end of our show. This has been After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pas Salé.
Ah, yes.
Followed by the Red Eye Special. If you want to find out what's programming here on the analog station, KPFT, or the digital stations, 1, 2, and 3, go to kpft.org. You can find us on Facebook. It's After Hours at After Hours KPFT. You can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT 419 Lovett Boulevard.
LOVETT. Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And we love hearing from you. Love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
You are listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 89.7 Huntsville, and soon to be 90.3 in Livingston. Here are your PSAs, and Zydeco Pasales comes right up after that.
The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. is a nonprofit corporation who provides literature to local high schools about the realities of military recruiting, military jobs, and alternatives to military jobs. The Houston Committee for Youth and Non-Military Opportunities, Inc. invites you to their annual fundraising jazz concert on Sunday, September 4th, Labor Day weekend, featuring local renowned jazz pianist Bob Henshin and others. This jazz concert will be held at the Houston Mennonite Church, 1231 Wirt Road. The concert is at 7 p.m. September 4th. All donations are accepted and all are welcome. For more information, call 832-466-1342. This is KPFT, Houston.
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. 10 years after the tragedy of 9/11, Pacifica Radio will present a national broadcast featuring special programming from each Pacifica radio station and the archives that examines its impact on American society. We invite you, the listener, to be part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Hour by including your voice along with those of Stephen Rohde, Howard Zinn, Maxine Waters, June Jordan, Bertrand Russell, Jermaine Greer, and many others. Tell us about how you heard about the attack.